Okay, how about the volume on my microphone, AGP? Is the volume okay out there? I can't hear it. We're okay? All right, good, thanks. Welcome, everyone. Today is Wednesday, May 9th. This is a continuation of our budget study session from yesterday on May 8th, starting for the meeting today at 4:30, and we're going to reopen our meeting. With that, all members of council are present, and we took public comment yesterday at the beginning of this, and we are reopening. I'll entertain any public comment at this time. Should anybody want public comment, please come forward. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll be very fast. My name is John Solu, citizen of Morro Bay. Contrary to belief, I don't own any assets here, but I do have a lot of financial interest in this town. I'm here to talk to you about some of the TBID dialogue that took place yesterday. And Mr. Irons, thank you for your comments with about my wife and I, but I can tell you that over the last 6-7 years of introducing the TBID into the community, really all the hoteliers came together to do that. And there was a couple of questions that came up that really wasn't answered, so I want to answer a few of them. One was, why did we come up with 3% and not anything else? One of the reasons was because of the fact that we needed to make sure we have some dollar punch behind our marketing efforts. So we consciously came up knowing that we were going to be the highest in the county. So at that time, we were the first to start TBID. We were the ones who decided to go with 3%. Going after vacation rentals, 150-plus owners at that time. We just couldn't bear that, and we just wanted to get going as hoteliers. So that was one of the reasons we did that.
John, this is the budget hearing, not the council meeting from last night. Just to, you know, this isn't part of the agenda, but it is part of the, you know, we are talking about the budget.
I just want to kind of clarify a few things about that. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that I appreciate everything Rob Davis said, Red Davis, about the TBID and what was said in regards to what was committed by the city. I appreciate your comments about that and backing the TBID board on that, because that was a conversation that took place 18 months ago. And I appreciate any support that you can give. I know you have a lot of challenge. Over the last 6 years, CalPERS went up, but if you take the math of what TBID did, or what TOT tax increase over the last 6 years was basically paying for this increase for the CalPERS. And, you know, with a 50%, 60% increase that could potentially happen in the next 5 years, you know, you're looking at another $1.5 million of budget that has to be increased. So TOT has to go up to 17-18% to pay for that. So I just let you do that and have a good meeting. Thank you, John.
Anybody else for public comment as it relates to the budget item? None? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Moving on, we'll reopen the meeting and turn to Mr. Collins, get us started on the opening of today, and then perhaps Ms. Calloway might help us out with the rest, and everybody else. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, Council members, Scott Collins, City Manager, and just wanted to reiterate my thanks to the community, to the Citizen Finance Advisory Committee, and to City Council for all of their work and great questions, and really helping to help staff bring forward a proposed budget that meets the various needs and demands of our community, and hopefully sets us on a good, solid financial footing as we come into to some choppy waters, if you will, in the next several years. And so, just to recap what occurred last night, we presented that kind of the high level of the budget to City Council and the community, and then Council took some action to fund the implementation, or at least some initial implementation components of the Economic Development Roadmap in partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, provided some funding to the facility maintenance to allow us to address some maintenance needs that arise, in a small dollar amount, but really helps to facilitate quick action when it's necessary. And as a separate item, but related to the budget, the TBID annual report was moved forward, and part of that is the annual TBID budget, which was moved forward as proposed by staff and recommended by the TBID board itself. So tonight we will be getting into more detail. We'll be talking about the various funds. There's lots of questions about internal service funds and capital funds and the like. So we'll get into those kind of details. We'll talk about the bequests that have been made to City Council for funding for support, kind of social services and the like. We'll look at the internal services for, I guess we just talked about that, the various funds that you see up there, and then get into a good discussion on the capital budget and projects and the pavement management plan. As we noted last night, the big discussion about the future, which is very uncertain and a little alarming with CalPERS, we will have a really good presentation for a comprehensive presentation for council and the community on May 22nd that updates the 10-year forecast. It gets more precise on our CalPERS numbers for the future, which really frames the conversation for next year. We hope to use the same vehicle that we already have in place with our employee budget action committee, but also looking at doing something very similar for our community, probably in partnership with our CFAC, which will be really great to assess the priorities of our community and bring forward a way to have those really challenging conversations, but hopefully we find opportunity in those and how we can provide services maybe in different mechanisms and not lose those core services and look at the other side of the ledger with revenues. So with that, I'll move into a bit of tonight's discussion. We'll hand it over to our finance director. To start, we have for the general fund, we have revenues of $14.3 million, $12.7 million from the various revenue sources plus transfers in. And then on the expenditure side, we are proposing $13.7 million to support various operations and then $624,000 transfers out. And the overall theme for this budget, which was mentioned last night, is that we were blessed with a very strong economy at this time. We're able to present a balanced budget to council with some minor reductions in non-compensation components of the budget. Each department was asked to find 5% reductions, and they were successful in doing that in the non-salary line items. And we did see some increases that are beyond our control, such as utility costs, but primarily we're able to meet that target. And we have no new positions that were, which create a new burden on the general fund. They all had to be cost neutral, and ultimately we're looking to try to put more bodies on the front line and reducing some of our management positions, which is a good transition into the city manager department, which I will do and then hand it over to Ms. Calloway. So the major things that are worth noting here, and of course we can answer questions if you have more than what's provided here, is we defunded the opportunity line item, which was I think brought in by the previous city manager to have opportunity to kind of help with things like I guess it was the Maritime Museum. We've provided funding for that and some other things. There's a $20,000 line item that, you know, we feel there are probably more appropriate uses for that, and council's already provided funding for the economic development roadmap last night, so this seems to be maybe a bit redundant. There's a 2% COLA included in this, which was part of the negotiations that were conducted last year for all the various classifications, with the exception of POA. We defunded the deputy city manager position and the budget associated with that. When Akani was here, he was here for 2 weeks during my beginning of my tenure and left, and we found it was probably appropriate to defund that at this time to help address some of our budget challenges. Moving forward, we can always look at that again, but that's where we are now. And some of the other things that are included in our budget is the animal services dispatch, and we do have partial funding for the fee study update, which will be discussed a little bit later. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Jen, and I'll move out of the way here.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. Just to kind of echo again what the city manager said, and thanks to the CFAC committee, for their review. They reviewed not only Measure Q, but this year they had a chance to review the general fund budget as well. There was only a couple minor changes made after distribution to them. So you'll note that in your packet there were several questions that the committee issued prior to their discussion, and we provided responses to. So if there's any clarification needed on those, we're happy to address those at any point throughout the presentation. We've kind of built in some natural breaks in the presentation where we'll stop and try to have some discussion with council and get some direction based on like the general fund and then moving into internal services and capital projects. So if you want to pause before that, just let me know and I'll try to maintain eye contact. In the administration department is kind of a grouping of programs or functions, if you will. This is the first year that we've brought back the city attorney program. It was previously funded when there was an in-house city attorney, and then when we contracted out, those charges kind of got dispersed out into the programs that they were being charged to. So the enterprise funds had their own line items. We heard from various sources for transparency purposes. The preference is to have it back in one program to identify the full cost of attorney services. So that's been included in administration. It's $409,000 in total. $160,000 of that is for general fund, $121,000 for water, $72.7 for sewer, and harbor has a $55.2K budget. And what we will do is sort out the legal charges as they come through in the year and transfer in according to actual costs incurred. Sorry for the noise on that. Our next budget is the city clerk. I'm only going to highlight the changes from the prior year. Otherwise, you can assume it's a status quo budget. We consolidated the elections program into the clerk budget, so you won't see a separate elections program anymore. We've reallocated staffing, and we touched on that a bit last night, but the city clerk is spread amongst HR, the city clerk program, and risk management, as well as the same for the deputy city clerk. She's spread amongst the city clerk program and risk management. So there's 1.08 FT positions funded in this department. The 2% COLA applies to both of those positions. And an FTE, for those that don't know, is a full-time equivalent. It's the ratio of working 2,080 hours a year, 80 hours a week. Human resources is also overseen by the city clerk. It's a 1.33 FTE allocation, and the 2% COLA is included in that program as well. For the finance department, we've incorporated the account clerk and training position that was previously approved by the council a few weeks ago. We've reallocated staffing. It's 3.65 FTEs plus about 650 hours of temporary or part-time hours. We've taken the finance director position and allocated a portion into the IT fund. It used to be overseen by the deputy city manager, so that is offset with that department being defunded. We've allocated a portion of the account clerk and training position to the general fund. Previously, both the front counter clerks were fully funded in the enterprise funds, but we do rely on that person to help us with some administrative office tasks. We've taken the other account clerk 2 position that's doing primarily accounts receivable and allocated a portion of that into the enterprise funds because she helps to oversee the front counter if she has some background in utility billing as well. Next, the 2% COLA is included in this program. It applies to all of the staff assigned. And then the increased revenues that we talked about last night, the finance department houses all those kind of non-departmental revenues, if you will. So property tax, sales tax, and TOT all come funneled through the finance department. And we base those estimates off of what was provided to us by our sales tax consultant, the county, and then we forecasted a modest increase in TOT at 1% as we kind of wait and see what the economy does through this next year. For transfers in, this is for the whole general fund. It's included in the administration program. It totals $1.6 million. There's $121,000 in Measure Q support for fire overtime, 20K for the T-bid. That's money that comes back to us for that admin support. Approximately $272,000 for gas tax, $897,000 in the cost allocation plan for all of the enterprise funds, $249,000 for legal services, and that's to reimburse what we've budgeted the enterprise funds for in their legal expenses, and then $624,000 in transfers out. That includes $50,000 in vehicle replacement, $357,000 in IT, to support the IT fund, $30,000 for risk management, and $30,000 for compensable leave, and then the $147,000 in tourism. We're going to talk a little bit about the individual department budgets. All the directors are here and can answer specific questions you may have. See, the recreation manager, the utilities manager, and the support services manager are here as well. So there's questions specific to them, they can assist us. For the police department, that's $3.4 million of the general fund. It's 25% of the total general fund budget. We have added a 1.0 FTE records clerk training coordinator position, reduced salary and benefits resulting from the side fund payoff that we discussed last night. There's a 2% COLA included for the non-sworn staff. That's primarily in the support services division of the total police program. And then the CAD funding has been reallocated, I should say, into Measure Q from the general fund. There was discussion yesterday about wanting to know the total police funding, so we're going to do a little bit of a left turn here for a minute and just show you a quick slide about that. When you look at general fund support for police support services and contract services, the Measure Q contribution plan for 18-19, the traffic safety fund, and the special safety grant, which is really the SLESF, or the Supplemental Law Enforcement Services Fund money that comes in annually, it's almost $9 million. That would be offset by the revenues generated through those of $170,000. If you look at that from a graphical representation, 82% is general fund, support services is about 6%, contract services 7%, Measure Q 3%, very small amount in traffic safety, and special grants. A little bit of the detail on the other funds that support police. Measure Q is the admin sergeant assignment pay, $16,500. A body-worn cameras, bomb squad training, and the CAD, and that's payment to the Sheriff's Department, and standby pay that's historically been funded in there. And then the special safety grant is the SLESF. That includes funding, salary, and benefits for a 0.75 FTE training coordinator. Same for the fire. The total general fund budget is $2.6 million, which is 19%. Primarily, it's a status quo expenditure budget from prior years. There's some minor increases for fuel, utilities, and small equipment. The fire employees did qualify for the 2% COLA. They were part of a previously negotiated MOU. If we do our little left turn again, the total funding for fire is about $3.5 million. General fund is fire and EOC and contract services. That's for the dispatch services paid to the sheriff. Measure Q is $480,000 as proposed. And then in 18-19, there's $275,000 from the fire donation account to support purchase of the fire engine. The fire department brings in about $500,000 in revenues. Most of that being generally in the general fund for the fire marshal inspection. From the graphical representation, you get 74% is general fund, 14% for the EOC, or 4% for EOC, 14% for contract services, and then Measure Q and the fire donation account. For Measure Q, the 480 is for the fire engine. That's $60,000 towards the down payment, $288,000 for personnel costs, $27,000 for personal body equipment, protection equipment, $90,000 for debt service and $14,000 for radios. The fire donation account, like we talked about, is $275,000 towards the down payment on the engine. The general fund public works department is 20% of the total general fund budget. It covers multiple programs, administration, engineering, consolidated maintenance. There's a myriad of them. The total increase for all of those programs is about $180,000. Within the administration and engineering position, that's where we've defunded the senior civil engineer. That reduces salary and benefits. There's offsetting increases to contract services, and there's additional expenses for consulting engineering services, pavement management plan services, and miscellaneous land surveying services. The 2% COLA is also included in the proposed budget. For consolidated maintenance, we've reallocated the funding for maintenance worker 2 to the Cloisters Assessment District, and that was discussed last night. Reduced part-time hours by almost 4,000 hours, and those two combinations of savings help to fund the 2.0 FTE consolidated maintenance worker one positions. These were positions that were essentially working full-time hours but in an unbenefited temporary capacity. And again, they provide those frontline services to the community. There's operating increases for utilities, CCC and CDC are labor, and then 2% COLA applies. Consolidated maintenance for the streets program, there's operational increases, there's expenditures for gravel, asphalt, cold patch, and base material, and then equipment rental to provide the streets work, the 2% COLA as well. Moving on to the rest of the public works programs, essentially were status quo, so I didn't include those in the discussion. The community development department is about 8% of the general fund budget at $1.14 million. 2% COLA is included, as well as $100,000 in what we're calling discretionary spending, but it's really for the DWSP and EDSP implementation, as council will direct. $20,000 for environmental consulting services and peer review. And the last general fund program is the recreation program at 9% of the budget. It's $1.2 million. There's kind of a net operating increase amongst the various programs within that department of $126,000. That's really related to the opening of the pool, and that's offset by an additional $147,000 in revenues that are budgeted. And the 2% COLA applies to that department as well. So we're going to take a little bit of a break and maybe have some discussion, and we're needing some council direction. The last program to cover is the city council program. In your department as a council, there's a line item for council bequests. $16,500 has been allocated. As of today, you've received three requests for funding: $10,000 from the EVC, $500 from SCORE, and then a facilities fee waiver from the food group that provides the Monday night dinners. The value of that would be $17,310. Obviously, that wouldn't go against the $16,500, but it would, if we could have some direction on your preference for that. And then just the last note, there's also been received a $5,000 request from Home Share Slow. That's already been included in the Housing in Lieu Fund budget, so unless you direct otherwise, we would plan to fund that, and is not part of your $16,500. The second addition to your budget this year is the discretionary beautification. It's $5,000, and that's for the kind of adopted program that was discussed a couple months ago that will be coming back to council. Kind of take a break.
Anybody for questions at this point? Anybody? Marlos?
All right. I hope I can remember all of them. I should have asked while you were going along. I did have a question about the police budget, namely You have not included any kind of salary increases. We know that they haven't been negotiated yet. Are you going to be able to find money in this budget to cover those when it happens?
So I would say best budgeting practices, you know, you budget for what you've contracted for and what you've committed for. At least that's been my experience in doing that. If we are able to make come to an agreement with the POA and negotiate a raise, that will be our challenge, is to attempt to negotiate what we can afford to fund. So we'll be making, you know, doing calculations and determining what that amount is.
And then it would come back as some kind of a budget amendment?
Correct. When you approve the MOU, it would be incorporated in there as a budget amendment.
And by the way, I really appreciate your going and getting all that extra data that I requested, so I wanted to thank you for that, and you got it so quickly. And then I was going to ask about the Public Works, the contract employee. Is there going to be enough coverage with the contract employee, and especially when you're not there, is there going to be sufficient engineering services on board to cover your absences?
It's a difficult position to recruit for. Right now, in the current time, it seems like it's the full employment for journey-level engineers in the state, with Caltrans trying to recruit 1,100 of us to come to work for them this year. So we've tried that a couple of times. This is a alternative that other cities have turned to. The firm that we're contracting with right now, Eickhoff Engineering, performs these services for other cities, including the city of Guadalupe and Arroyo Grande. They don't provide a presence in the office, so we would have our assistant engineer and engineering technician work with the public at the counter, and we would send out to Eickhoff Engineering some of the more complicated plan checks that would free up the assistant engineer and engineering technician to do that direct public contact work.
So it isn't a particular individual, not somebody who's regularly going to be performing that function, or?
Eickhoff Engineering has assigned a person to that, but it's really supplementing our services mainly for the development review, the plan check services, to free up our time for other engineering function, so working on our a limited capital program and our direct public contact and encroachment permit inspections.
Okay, thank you. The next question I had concerns recreation. And I'm just wondering if you can tell me how much fee recovery is in your various programs, and does it vary by the program, so that some programs are fully funded by fees and others there's a supplement? And I guess I'm just wondering what that breakdown might be, Kirk.
It was in there. Kirk
Carmichael, Recreation Manager. I will attempt to answer your question here. We don't look at fee recovery with the entire budget, but more so, as you had mentioned, specific programs.
Right.
And there's an inverted pyramid that we use, which helps to kind of describe or define our cost recovery. Each program or activity or event that we do provide will fall within a certain category, it's set to recover the certain percentage of a cost. So, for example, our tree lighting program, for example, at Christmas time, that's a 0% recovery because it's a community benefit, versus, for example, our Rock to Pier run, which takes place in the summertime, we look to recover 100% of cost.
Okay.
So to marry them all together becomes a bit cumbersome, but you'll look at our entire budget, and we're close to about 60% or maybe 50% cost recovery.
Okay, yeah. But like something like the pool, mm-hmm. would you be looking for 100% cost recovery on the pool?
No, that's a 70 to 79% cost recovery, which is a community benefit, I think is the term that we use for that specific category. So we're looking to capture that.
Okay,
that amount.
So some of the ones where you might subsidize it more would be like for kids, and is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just curious. Thank
sure.
you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. And then my last question, I think it might be for you, Jen. In our council direction, what I didn't see here was what support we give to the Community Resource Connections Office. Do we give them, I'm not sure what support we give them, but. Office space, perhaps? We give free office space, or.
So they have not submitted a request, but last year, I think the last 2 years, the council's allocated $1,000 that's set aside to cover copies and services that the city provides for them because they don't have the capacity to do that
right.
themselves. And, of course, we do provide office space, but that's not included in the $1,000.
It is not. But we do. That's free. They don't pay for
office
space. Okay. Good. Just one more thing. Yeah, it is my last question. It's my last question, but this is sort of a related comment to my last question. I know that I don't know if you send out to the people that we've given money to in the past and tell them to send in a request or how that happens. And my guess is that some people that are really on the ball send it in and others don't. And I just somehow want to make sure that we kind of give our money equitably and to the organizations that we really feel deserve it and need it the most. So that's why I asked last night if we could just not make all of the bequests today and leave some open so we could have the opportunity to do that in the future. That's all. Thank you.
I'm done now.
Rent questions? John?
That's okay. Go ahead, Red. I'll go ahead.
All right, we'll go. We'll keep going the direction. I didn't know.
That's all right. I'll wait.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jen, so far. And yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go back to maybe assumptions on revenues because I don't know if that's coming later or whatever, but I just have some general questions on the assumptions that you used for the general fund revenue assumptions. And so it leads back, and I know it's a complicated question, but there is a question here, and I promise I'll get to it, to what Mr. Solu was speaking to, and the information that I tried to articulate last night but maybe didn't do it. It was leading to a question today because when I look at revenues for the city and the general fund, and I look at what you have budgeted for TOT for this year, the reason I was so heavily scrutinizing the budget last night for the TBID was based upon what I sense is either an incorrectly budgeted number for TOT or the lack of significant results expected for this next year. Because historically, if you look back and you compare 2014 to 2015, TOT went up 8.6%. The spend, just the TBID spend, went up 4% that year. From 16 to 16-17, TOT went up 6.1%. And the spend went up 31.6%. Now, that was the introduction of the 1% additional to the county, and that explains, obviously, a huge jump in expenses. If you look at 16-17 to 17-18, and I'm using the estimate for 17-18, TOT went up 4.7%, And the spend for the T-bid went up 6.3%. When I look at 17-18 estimated to proposed for 18-19, TOT is only going up 1.1%, and our spend is again going up 3.4%. And so my discussion last night was really leading to a major question on the biggest revenue source for the general fund, which is TOT. If Highway 1 was closed for the majority of this year and will be opened by next year, and we had 101 issues, et cetera, with fires and rains and stuff, I'm wondering what assumptions you used or staff used to arrive at such a low expectation for TOT, or is this the possible place where, how shall I say it correctly, the CFO places funds that might be expected to cover things that are unexpected in the future? And I ask that with all truth and candor because I really am concerned about that spend trend and the outcome of the results, which I think have been very good for the T-bid, but next year's assumption stymies me. I don't get it. So maybe you could help me.
So there's going to be a natural cap on TOT until new rooms come in, and I don't know what that cap is. So I'm a little bit hindered in forecasting a number without knowing where that amount is for the cap, right? The second thing is, it's certainly not a place that, you know, there to flush out some money for other things. I would say that I think the property tax estimates the county provided at 5% are probably high. I mentioned that TOT is conservative at 1%. When we come back at first quarter and mid-year, we'll have some better estimates that we can adjust up or down, and you can make choices to, you know, increase support for something or, you know, do additional capital work. I would not want to be in a position that we were in at mid-year this year where we were adjusting down and trying to cut expenditures to accommodate that. And as it turns out, TOT is trending better than it was at mid-year, still not at what it was budgeted at prior to doing the budget adjustment. So partially, my lack of historical knowledge here and knowing where that cap is, part of it's not knowing when the economy is kind of going to flatten out. There's talk about that happening, you know, at any point. It's conservative. And I'm not going to tell you that it's not, but I think it's going to balance out with some of the others that may be a little high.
And I appreciate that explanation because I'm trying in my own mind to understand what I would consider to be a very large spend from the general fund and the results that it might produce for the city as a whole and general fund revenue dollars. And that's the stick for me in terms of what I see historically has happened and what the expectation may well be for this year. The other unknown is also, and the question that I've asked not this round but before is, what is the impact of rates have with regard to room rates on TOT? Because if room rates go up, you know, across the board in the city, then TOT revenues are going to go up commensurately too. And so how much of room rate increases over the past have contributed to increases and might contribute to increases next year? And I don't know that we've really talked to our hoteliers and gotten a sense of maybe what might be happening with rates, and that would be a good thing to do. So I'll stop there and just say I understand it's very conservative. I'll take the position that our continued high spend, including the allocation of a large amount of general fund dollars at present, will continue to produce fruit. However, if this number is realized at midterm 2018-19, I'll have some tough questions with regard to the spend then, because, I mean, that would be a natural concern, I think, for all of us. my next question has to do with the just debt service in general. I don't know if we're going to get into any discussion about debt service, but is there any opportunity with some of the funded reserves that we have in various funds to use it to retire some debt and be able to self-fund the principal payments for certain items? And I know we're going to talk about some capital items, but that's just a general question about how we handle any kind of and I think CFAC brought that up as well as an issue of concern. But can you tell me how you might look at that? And I know cash flow is an issue as well. But
so CFAC did bring that up with regards to the purchase of the fire engine and requested that when we're looking at it being a single source, sole source, or whatever type of purchase it ends up being, instead of financing it, we self-fund it through some mechanism. Later on in the presentation, we've identified the internal service funds, identified the ones that we would recommend you go to first for alternative funding options, and whether that's capital, debt service prepayment, or some other, you know, need that the council has. We've also recognized some of the other funds that are more restricted. They wouldn't be available necessarily for debt service, but the general fund debt service is related to the solar installation. So yeah. That $35,000 that you see is specifically related to that, and the intent was the savings from the install would offset that. We haven't seen that yet, but we haven't had enough of a period of time to make that judgment.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. And my other question on revenue assumptions has to do with sales tax and use tax. I know HDL provides information to you, but is the small 1% projected increase in actuals from this year estimated to next year, is that inclusive of the also limited increase in TOT? And by that, I mean there's a relationship between how many tourists are here and the tourist spend and sales tax revenues. And so how do those two fit together? Because it seems to be low. But if it's all HDL, then what's their method to project that?
Yeah, there isn't a way to really identify sales tax generated by a tourist versus somebody that a resident or, you know, a resident to the county even. The projections that HDL gave from estimated year-end 17-18 to proposed 18-19 are about 2.6%. They were almost right on for the estimates that they provided us for mid-year 17-18, a few $1,000 difference. So I think they're probably pretty accurate. They do provide us with some really interesting analytics, and Scott Graham sat in with me on the last meeting that we can target districts or geos, if you will, and that might help us identify some of the tourist sales tax, and we can work on identifying the geos and the business types that we'd like to look at and try to narrow that down going forward.
Okay, good. And just a question on the city attorney fees that we have budgeted for. There's no history there. I'm just wondering what year to date or prior years, if you have any information on what the spend was for that. I think it would be good for the public to know. They've been asking about that multiple times in several town halls that I've done. Also publicly here, I think it would be good to include that history in our budget packet so that they could see that. I think there's some misperceptions out there that it's been millions of dollars, which it really isn't, and I really want to be clear about clearing that up for them if possible. So if you have that history, and I think there is a database that we were keeping and it's available, I think Lori has it, maybe we could include that.
I know we have readily available 17-18 that we can include in there. Yeah. We can go back as far as we can.
Cool. Appreciate that. And does this include assumptions for potential external contracted attorney fees, or does that get budgeted somewhere else if we use an outside firm?
Well, the So this is, there's some outside services that we use through for labor and personnel.
Right.
Dana, do you have?
I guess the labor attorney that is also part of the same firm, is that budgeted in these dollars or is it somewhere else?
So these are the total for Alshire.
All of Alshire Wyndham then.
Yeah, this is the total then.
Okay, I'm just, yeah, because I really appreciated your statement about moving it into its own fund for transparency to the community. I just wanted to make sure that we're capturing every piece of it and it's all appearing in one spot.
I think there's about $14,000 in police and that they had a separate line item and we'll go back and pull that out. But
always the police. always the police. Okay. My last question, I promise, is a general question. Are there standards in the industry for cities for allowable community subsidies? Just heard from our recreation director that we subsidize a program to the tune of about 21%, 79% cost recovery. Just thinking about a comment that Mr. Collins made last night that the actual TBID transfer allocation probably is higher than we've actually budgeted for. And so I guess I'm trying to understand with regard to cost recovery, is there kind of an industry standard or how much subsidization can a community continue to do or should it expect to do when it is so tight with regard to its general fund budget and other budgets? And I've not been able to find that as a benchmark. Can you help me with that?
So the cost recovery that you have is part of the council adopted policy. League of Cities generally has some good benchmarking. If we can't find anything through there, we can solicit information from cities via our listserv. And attempt to get some data to benchmark again. It's kind of up in the air who responds or not, but we can put the question out there and see what we get. It'll take a few months to get responses back and kind of gather that, though.
Yeah, that if that could come back, it would be really helpful in future considerations for understanding how much you can give away, literally, and I really think of it as a giveaway, although I know it brings benefit to a community, but I think it's an important question to ask, and it might vary from one service to another, I realize. Thanks so much.
All right, John, Matt, or him? No, okay.
Yes, Jen, I have a question for you on page 3 of today's handout. There are so many questions that have already been asked, but could you explain on the top of page 2 on slide 3 the revenues, the transfers for both revenues and then for expenses, and then if you could explain what the what transfers are?
Sure. So let me go back to the slide because that might, other than having to hear the noise each time we click through. Sorry about that. So the transfers in are support that the enterprise fund owes the general fund. So that would be, the city manager's time and overseeing those, the finance department's time and overseeing those, with the exception of the dedicated employees, and that would be the account clerks, processing payroll, processing AP. There's IT support. Those are all the cost allocation plan. And that's what was part of the RFP that we issued, was to update those studies. So we would hopefully have different numbers when we come back in 1920. There's also the legal expenses, and that's because we've consolidated legal into one department. If Mr. Pannoni spends time doing something with water, he's going to bill us. It'll say water, enterprise fund or some delineation of that, and we will transfer in from the water fund to cover those expenses. So the general fund's not picking that up. Measure Q support of overtime, that's been a historical I shouldn't say too historical, at least last year, support to maintain the 4-person staffing at the fire department, and then they also cover overtime pieces. And the 121 is just overtime, I'm sorry. TBID, we talked a little bit about that, $20,000 last night, and that is for kind of the admin overseeing, you know, collecting the assessments, processing the payment, and the invoices. And then gas tax, that's state-generated revenue. It's restricted to specific uses for streets. Basically, you can use engineering services, staffing. Our street sweeping contract, for example, is covered under this. So that money gets deposited into a separate account. That's the way the state likes to see it. And then it's transferred into the general fund to support those costs.
Okay, that was wonderfully clear. Thank you. I can just imagine some people might have questions about where that comes from, but that was a wonderful explanation. Thank you.
Do you want to do transfers out?
Well, I mean, sure, go ahead. Do it.
So this is money the general fund sends away to the other funds. We've proposed $50,000 for the vehicle replacement fund, and that's to help accumulate, or if there are expenditures budgeted out of that for new vehicles. It could be for maintenance on vehicles as well, if that comes up. The IT fund consists of all of our data software systems that we use and all of our equipment. The enterprise funds all contribute to that, and the general fund does as well. Risk management, there's a $30,000 proposed allocation to help fund that program. Compensable leave, employees earn leave. They may or may not take it throughout the year. It's kind of an unfunded liability unless you fund it. So we transfer money to help offset that unfunded liability every year. And then the tourism support that we talked about last night.
Okay. Thank you. That's all my questions.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you. I want to say thank you and welcome to Mr. Martin for attending tonight and for attending last night and seeing how the sausage is made. Jennifer, you talked about TOT cap, and then I just saw another cap up there that was all capitalized CAP.
That was cost allocation plan. That's what the enterprise funds contribute mm-hmm. to the general fund. When I mentioned TOT cap, I mean, if we had 100% occupancy, that would be the cap of what we could earn on TOT revenue, right? Because there's no additional rooms.
Okay, and that was what my question was whether that cap was capacity. And we've been running about 62% occupancy, so we have a long way to go, don't we? The resource connections, the $1,000, does that come out of council bequests?
The one that Dana was referring to earlier, yes, it does.
Okay.
But they haven't submitted a formal request to date.
Okay, and that's why it's not on the slide?
Correct.
Okay. Then one thing that was on the slide was the fee waiver for the community dinners in this building. And that's actually part of a future agenda item, I think. Isn't it a policy thing on how we're going to deal with that? So it's really not part of this discussion. Is that correct?
Am I confusing? No, you're not. I mean, I guess it's ahead of that discussion. They're requesting the waiver now.
Right.
The general question about, what's the appropriate, just looking broadly at our facilities, it's a common practice that cities charge for facility use. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, does council want to establish prearranged subsidies, if you will, for different types of uses, whether it's a community benefit or a sponsored event by the city or something like that. There certainly are other cities to look to help guide that. So the expectation is we'd be bringing that back this year. As council's well aware, we have had very packed agendas and we have some very significant items to bring forward. So haven't been able to get around to getting into the weeds on that and working with probably with Marlis, since it was the item she was looking to bring forward. So hopefully we'll see something soon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with that. I guess I'm just asking if we are being asked to make a specific decision tonight before we have established a policy and probably being asked to go along with past practice.
That's correct. You don't have that. We have the partnership policy that you could look to, but I think we all realize that there's probably work that needs to be done on that, or at least on how it's being interpreted and used. It was developed by the previous deputy city manager, Connie, and then he left, and Connie came in and was there to implement, but he also had to learn his job. So I think it may be that that's sufficient, but they're requesting this ahead of, you know, a review of that partnership policy and
sure.
new direction.
Okay. And then there was $100,000 for DWSP and EDSP implementation. Is that the money, Scott, that you've been talking about that you have available for wayfinding signs?
Yeah, so in this current budget, not the proposed one, there's $100,000 in that, and we had $100,000 in the budget previous to that that we used to develop, I think, the ED downtown and waterfront strategic plan. So the community development department budgets had that in there for plan preparation for economic development purposes. This year we're going to use it for economic development purposes and implementation of the EDSP and DWSP. There's a lot of implementation items in there. And so we put that back in the budget for next year to do more stuff.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what that's there for. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a recurring amount of money that you always spend. All right.
Correct. And that's the discussion. It's actually a great question because it's a discussion that we've had with, you know, I think each council as we've done this each year.
So. Okay. The fee study that we authorized last month is partially funded. So do you have expectation of finding the rest of the funds somewhere?
So with respect to that, we don't know what the proposals are going to come in at. We haven't received them yet. They come May 11th. There's also, if you look at the contract services section, there's animal services for $40,000 and then other for $87,000. Animal services is contingent on what Paso and Atascadero decides to do. So that $87,000 could help offset if Paso and Atascadero pull out of the contract or could be used to fund the fee study.
Okay. You anticipated my final question, so I didn't even get to ask my final question. But thank you.
I have one follow-up question. I might have misunderstood. You read about the $100,000 for the EDSP, and when you were saying that, maybe I didn't hear you correctly, but I went to the strategic investment spending plan that was adopted back in 2015-16 that allocated the funds for the EDSP or the downtown strategic plan. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were referring to? Did I misunderstand what it was?
So we had money in the community development department budget over the last several budget cycles, $100,000 each time. And I was just saying the downtown and waterfront strategic plan is one of the things we allocated that $100,000 to.
And that was from the strategic investment spending plan, as I recall.
It started off in community development budget, and I think ended up in one of the buckets.
Sorry.
From back
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was spent on back then, and it's continued forward since then.
Okay, and it's not a reallocation every year. That was dedicated for that, and it was just carried over until it was complete.
We have $100,000 in the current year's budget to do implementation things for the EDSP and EWSP, and we're working on that right now. And then we have that in next year's budget as well to continue to do implementation items because there are a lot of them. And, you know, last night we agreed to partner with the Chamber, and we'll probably be able to get a lot of good input about what we will be doing moving forward with that money. I mean, I think that's going to leverage the decisions that you made last night.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that clarity. And I guess that was one of my comments last night as well on some of the funds in the description. That one, the strategic investment spending plan particularly, there's probably a list on the resolution for that that can identify what those are. Seeing the funding page here in our document, it doesn't lay those out, but I'm sure we can update that.
Could I ask a follow-up question to that?
Sure. Can I finish with my questions?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it was a follow-up to that question.
Okay. Thanks. So I guess that was my question for Jen as well on the strategic investment spending plan. I think it's G47. It's just the editorial ones as we update these documents in here. And it's editorial. I guess I could send that to you and make it simple. I think that would be...
That would be great if you could send it. And I think if my memory is serving me correctly, the resolution adopting that outlines a list of projects that it was dedicated for.
Yeah.
One of those being the dark fiber, which was $150,000.
Right.
Which is about your balance in that fund, given that you're using a piece of that to fund the economic development strategic plan.
Which I guess is, that's what the balance is. And have we ever determined what our commitment is? Because it's been years since we've agreed to that, but it hasn't come to fruition. So I guess that's another question on whether or not at what point do we understand that it's going to come to fruition, or do we close the, exit what that agreement might have been at that time and then reallocate those funds for something we need to do. And maybe that's a discussion for a later date, but it is in our budget document. It is an ongoing curiosity for me as we've looked at that. Maybe you can respond, Mr. Collins.
So Digital West entered into that contract and essentially the next day began work on a merger and fell off the face of the earth during that time period because they had to deal with all the various intricacies of moving forward with the merger. Mr. Tim Williams reached out, or I think I reached out to him, or he reached out to me shortly after I started here back in December, and we said, well, let's look at the contract and get a feel for where we are, and we talked again in February and determined, we can't honor that contract. I mean, they didn't do anything for the city. They own that. They said they were working through this merger, and so they couldn't do any of the work. So we just determined it would probably be appropriate to come back to City Council shortly thereafter to have a discussion if we want to move forward and what it would look like, probably a new contract. But most recently, I received correspondence from Tim, and they're having a lot of issues with the approach that they would take here with Morro Bay, using kind of Wi-Fi, if you will, not fiber in the ground, and that there's a lot of regulatory issues with AT&T and other conglomerates that are making it challenging for smaller firms to do this kind of work. So we're sort of in a standby situation, and I intend to reach out to them again shortly to see what we might want to do. But ultimately, it needs to come back to council for direction.
So I guess maybe that's a future agenda item that we should either at some point elevate that to have that discussion sooner rather than later. Obviously, for the budget discussions, it's going to be part of this, and following any conclusion that we might make with a discussion agendized item, that might lead to more decisions on what our options would be for those funds. I guess that would be a path forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Marlis.
I just got confused about where the money that we approved last night was coming from for the implementation of the plan. It's not out of this $100,000 that we were just talking about going to community development. Is that correct?
That's correct. $18,000 is from the 480 fund, the opportunity fund, and then $12,000 from the strategic spending plan fund that the mayor is referring to. Staff recommended originally five from that fund, and then seven from that fund, and then per last night's conversation, the additional five to make it a full $30,000.
So this is over and above and would be used for implementation?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. You want to continue on?
Okay. We wanted to touch base on Measure Q again. We highlighted it a little bit last night. I think we've talked about the details of that. But if there was any direction or comment on Measure Q, it was discussed with CFAC, approved with comment, and the comments were provided via memo from the committee. So if there was any, we didn't get into detailed questions on the Measure Q. The revenue estimates were again provided by HDL, and the expenditures are relatively consistent with the percent allocations that were previously funded, at least in 17-18. I noted last night, and I'll reiterate again, that the committee gave a cautionary note that while they supported the budget for 18-19, when we get to 19-20, they don't particularly want to see transfer of equipment purchases from the general fund into CFAC. So that was kind of a comment provided by the committee. I don't really have a lot more detail on this, but if there was questions, since we kind of glanced over it last night, I wanted to make sure we hit it again.
Okay, at this point, you want to start this way with questions this time, Red?
Yeah, I don't think I have any questions. I was present at the CFAC meeting when the department heads made their proposals, and I was satisfied then with what they said, so I'm good.
No questions.
Okay. John?
Not really a question, but just a recollection that are we not bringing that back? Is it a future agenda item to talk about Measure Q and what the appropriate allocations might be? And that would be maybe the time to discuss it. So thanks.
Marlis?
Yeah, I don't have a question, but just to confirm that the recommendations that the Citizens Finance Committee made about how you're going to move forward purchasing, you would intend it to follow those?
That's correct.
Yep. And we're going to hear about the fire engine later.
You agree.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right, thanks. Moving on.
So now into what we're calling internal service funds. Again, I think I mentioned last night, and just to kind of reiterate, these aren't in most cases functioning as internal service funds, but they're kind of serving that purpose. So that's what we've categorized them as. You ask for fund balances for those funds. So we've provided the estimated year-end fund balance, which will likely deviate to some extent when we close the year. And then what we project 18-19 on based on revenues flowing in and expenditures flowing out of those funds. The total balance projected at year-end for 18-19 would be $1.5 million. We went through and kind of did an analysis for you of each of those funds. Vehicle replacement, kind of the history of those funds, and the red line at the top kind of indicates about where we think maybe the funding level should be. We can't give you an exact figure at this point. We need to do an accounting of what our general fund fleet is, how much it would be to replace that, and we'd probably recommend some percentage of that, maybe 25% or whatever. When we see that, we feel is appropriate. The idea being if there's a natural disaster or something, you want to be able to replace, you know, a component of your fleet to help deal with that, but you're certainly not going to expect to replace the full fleet in the general fund. So, you know, in terms of funds available for other usage, those lists that we're going to go through first, we've kind of identified as kind of holding steady where they're at until we do some of that analysis and benchmarking. The IT fund has a projected balance at 18 of $155,000. And again, we kind of think that might be a little bit underfunded as well. But until we do those benchmarking, we can't tell you that for sure. Mostly, as we start utilizing technology to help improve efficiencies, there might start to incur more costs in there. So we don't want to identify some technology we might want to utilize without having an ability to fund that. So that would be why we'd primarily build up an accumulation in that fund. For risk management, there was discussion about that last night. Risk management was a fund that was reallocated back in 15, and that's when several of these other pots were created out of that money for, you know, project accumulation, capital accumulation. My concern with reallocating funds in risk management today is that, you know, one or two claims or that come in could be significant. You could easily have a $100,000 claim that we would normally charge to this account. So I really worry about bringing it down to that $100,000 level. I don't know what the precise funding level is, and that's where we'll do some benchmarking and come back with a better number for you. But in terms of maybe reallocation of money today, we wouldn't recommend the risk management fund. And lastly, compensable leave. Again, that's that kind of fund we're setting aside to help offset those unfunded liabilities. We're not currently funding it at 100%. That kind of goes back to a percentage again, where you maybe want to look at what's the accumulated balance, and 25-30%. You're not going to expect your employees more than that to walk out the door on any single day, so you want to be able to pay those employees when they leave. So we really think, well, we might be slightly overfunded at this point. It does kind of directly offset that unfunded liability, so wouldn't recommend reallocating that money at this point either. Lastly, facilities maintenance. This fund really is pretty underfunded, primarily because the revenue source for that was the rents from the DeStasio building. So in the 18-19 budget, we haven't budgeted any revenue since DeStasio's have moved out. I know Scott's working on getting some short-term tenants in there possibly, and there might be another revenue source to add back into that fund. But this would be the fund we'd look at if the heater goes out, or if there's a roof issue, or some kind of facility maintenance issue. We would be able to come forward to council with a budget adjustment and point to this fund to fund those. So we're really recommending that we hold off on all of these funds, not reallocate those, do some benchmarking, return to the council at the first quarter with some recommended financial policies on funding levels, give you the support for why we've made those recommended funding levels, and then have a discussion about these specific funds at that point. Oops.
Could I ask a quick question? Jen, we have a strategic investment spending plan fund. Is that
what page are you on?
I'm on page B12. Right in the middle, very middle.
Yeah,
that's another one that's, I think, left over from the closure of the Dynegy plant, if I recall correctly. And is that something that we have established, something by ordinance or what have you, that will dictate what we can do with it?
The strategic investment plan?
Yes.
No.
So that's the fund that we were just talking about with respect to the dark fiber. It's $12,000 is going to support the EDSP that you approved last night. It was set up a couple years ago with a list of projects identified for it.
I was just trying to recall the list. Do you have
I think it's in your supplemental information attached to the resolution.
We can look at it. Thank you.
So that was developed through one-time spending at that point, the strategic investment plan.
Wasn't that a midterm a year or so ago or 2 years ago?
So it's resolution 34-15, which is in the supplemental packet, and it looks like it was adopted in 2015.
Yeah, okay, I recall that. Yeah, thank you.
So any other questions? Red, do you want to start on questions on this? Matt? John, Marlos? And thanks for bringing that. Just a couple quick questions on that. So the risk management fund in particular, and the facility maintenance fund, there is a resolution establishing the facility maintenance fund with the purchase of the Market Street property, and that's what initiated that fund. So
One, we don't have the revenue source from that, and at some point, since it was established by resolution for that property, it's going to go away. Whether or not we want to establish a facility maintenance fund with some other revenue source, we've designated a revenue source being the Market Street property, which we're not going to. So that's something that we need to have discussions on maybe prior to next budget, I would assume. And then the risk management fund, early on, that's something that we looked on. Let me re-reference that. Early on for me on council, that was one item that came up, and the question was, why are we setting the policy for $500,000 in the risk management fund? And we really didn't have any substantial answer for it at the time, and it was just a matter of, okay, where is the sweet spot, so to speak? And we readjusted that to $100,000. So obviously we want to be prudent in how we manage that, and respectfully we're going to come back with something that retargets that, because at some point when we set it for $100,000, at least I was under the assumption that that was a reasonable risk to have that established and be able to use those allocated funds above and beyond that, which is something we would look for annually during our budget cycle to say, okay, there's a fund balance in there. How can we utilize those funds to for any one of our, could it be facility maintenance or, you know, any capital improvement funds that we need?
So with respect to facility maintenance, my vision from yesterday to today would be, when we come back with those financial policies, address the resolution and make any recommended changes that we would need to at that point, whether it's to the funding source for that if there isn't a tenant in the building, or we don't foresee one, which I assume we will when market. But, I think that we would try to encompass all of that in the first quarter discussion when we have financial policies or draft financial policies. I can appreciate your interest in finding funds to maybe allocate towards other things. Part of this grouping of funds is, once we get through the proposed capital projects, we'll talk about the capital replacement fund and the project accumulation fund and the fund balances in those. And we are proposing that those are available to reallocate as you would like. And then given the capacity that we have internally to take on capital projects, there's only limited capacity as well. So there's kind of a cap on the dollar amount that we can actually deal with, and we probably get pretty close to that when we look at some of the other funds that we're going to offer up on the table as options for you to reallocate.
Okay. So we're talking about first quarter and mid-year budget when we will be reviewing some things, and first quarter particularly, it sounds like the risk management fund, we might be able to come back. The facility maintenance fund, is that something that we should include on that list as far as discussion on what the future years might be for that fund? And then the other one is the strategic investment fund, which happens to be the balance of the $150K for the fiber. Are those something we can roll into discussion at first quarter?
So I will plan on doing benchmarking for kind of all of our internal service funds at once and kind of one distribution.
Okay.
So I'd expect to be able to bring those back all at the same time.
I'm just trying to – taking notes and trying to figure out, okay, so what we're going to be expecting at first quarter, and making sure that some of the questions that we've had address that as well. So the internal the internal funds will come back on first quarter as well, and that would include the strategic investment fund as one of the options for Digital West. I mean, that would be one that we can bring back at that time as well.
City manager.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
I mean, would that coordinate well
with that? I
didn't
know you were just talking. Yes, we can bring that back.
Okay. Okay. All right. Those are all my questions for now. Thanks. Thanks for bringing that.
Okay. We want to talk about the proposed capital budget as it's presented in the document you have before you. So Public Works Director is going to take over and provide you with the listing and the funding sources that we've identified thus far.
Thank you, Ms. Calloway. Good afternoon, City Council, Mayor. Take a look at our capital budget. Things that we have set aside in the existing budget document include the City Works implementation, Morro Creek restoration, which is a result of the floods a couple of years or so ago. There was a statewide disaster declared. We're finally, I think, almost finished with the paperwork on that, and it's looking like about a $72,000 reimbursement that we'll get for that. And if you've been down to the overlook area on the south side of the creek, you can see where some of that stream bank is sloughed in, and we'll do proposing to do some rock slope protection there and a little bit of fabric to stabilize that bank. The Bocce Ball greenhouse at the Shasta Street Pocket Park, or as it's known as most of the time, it's really pending design in a bid on that, and how much volunteer labor we get to build that. So that $32,000 number is fairly fluid. It can be funded by the park impact fees, and there is a pending donation. I believe it's from, not from Morro Bay and Bloom, but the Active Adults group. So 50-50. We have a transit vehicle that's due to be replaced and applied for a rural transit fund grant. And then we have fund balance in the transit fund to help pay for that. And then also to continue to work on our short-range transit plan, and that is from our local transportation fund, the LTF, and existing fund balance in the fund for about a little less than $21,000 left. We're looking to look at studying a new bus stop transit center right on where the existing one is to accommodate perhaps more users there, and that's being funded by a SLOCOG grant.
I just wanted to interrupt for one moment. We've categorized these into, so we're all clear, the list that Rob just went through. If you were to approve them with this budget, you don't expect to see them come back to you unless you provide direction to us. They're all within the city manager's purchasing authority, and staff would go with those and complete those throughout the year. This next list is due to the purchasing authority that the city manager has. These are projects that you should expect to come back and see for contract approval. So even if you approve them in the budget, you're going to see them again during the fiscal year. And then the last list may or may not come, depending on either how much the funding ends up costing, because a lot of them are conceptual still, or if you provide specific direction or something like that. But we just wanted to be clear, so we grouped them that way so everybody was on the same page.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Calloway. Sorry for neglecting that. I'm probably not the one to talk about the fire engine replacement. I'll look to the other side of the room there for the Chief Knuckles to talk a little bit about that.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. We'll be replacing a 1994 Pierce Lance engine. It's done very well in service. It was one of the engines that was under a tent for 7 years on Harbor Street when we were rebuilding our station. In 2014, we extended the life of the engine for 5 years because it was passing its pumps test, and we were trying to be as as effective as possible with that engine. It's done well, but in the last couple of years has well over $30,000 in repairs, including pump repair, and we also had to replace the motor on the chimney fire out of Paso Robles. We're looking at another Pierce engine, and I can go over that later, the date when I discuss single source for a purchase for it. We're using this year's funds to help with the down payment of the engines, and the big down payment is, thank you, Bertha Schultz, the remaining funds of the Bertha Schultz giving of close to $1.4 million given to us by her trust. And we're looking to purchase an engine that's very similar with the other ones because we are one department that cross-staffs four apparatus a day to be flexible with our responses. So we like to have similar engines, similar controls, similar power plants, similar everything so that it's easier to train and be consistent with our service.
Thank you, Chief. The next item is a replacement of another transit vehicle, our trolley from the Trolley Fund. Again, another grant, two grants actually, Federal Transportation Authority, and then also the Rural Transportation Fund for the balance of that. Everybody's favorite, street work. We're looking to spend about $729,000 on street work. It'll come from Measure Q, SB1, and a little bit of the remainder of our Cal Recycled rubberized asphalt grant that we apply for every 2 years. It's a two-year grant cycle. In addition to that, I neglected to add in LTF funds, local transportation funds that are in excess of what is needed to manage our transit system. And then we have a 2% set aside of our LTF funds that's required to be used for bike facilities and bike and pedestrian facilities. I would propose that we do that in conjunction with our pavement management plan because it doesn't make sense to go out with a separate striping or paving contract just for those bike facilities or pedestrian facilities, but to roll it into a much larger project to get the economies of scale. So when we bring the final pavement management plan back to as a task order to award as the third year of our IDIQ or indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery contract that we have with pavement coatings, we will include those items and additional components to that work and detail those out. Here's one of the obligatory slides that you really can't read on the screen with the listing of proposed streets. In the budget document, it has columns for what the treatment technique is. It ranges from type 2 microsurfacing, which is a slurry with a heavy sand mixture, to a triple layer cape seal, which is a combination of slurry, chip, and slurry on top of it. That, again, gives an additional 10 years in service life to a street by doing that approach. This list will be refined as we hone in on those final dollars, and that final list will be presented to first to our Public Works Advisory Board and then come back to Council probably towards the end of summertime is what we'd be looking at bringing that back. As you can see, there's not a whole lot of streets, but unfortunately, most of the street paving work is based on asphalt-based products, and I heard on Marketplace that U.S. crude went up $70 a barrel, so asphalt prices will follow that. These are projects that are still needing to be defined and may or may not need to come back to council. They include the upgrades to this building, maybe so that the audience and council can actually view these PowerPoint presentations. And I don't have to move to this side of the room to make that presentation. There's a project being proposed that probably will be a partnership with potential donors, and that's a Jacqueline Lane Memorial Fitness Stations. We're looking for appropriate locations along the our Harbor Walk Trail or Coleman Park area to add those fitness stations. And item to increase the amount of parking in the downtown is a select streets to restripe for angled parking. There's an exhibit in the budget document showing a concept for that. With that concept, it would cost about $83,000, almost $84,000 to stripe that. Not just striping, but we have to grind off the existing striping, reconfigure lane lines, and to really do that effectively, you need to slurry on top of the street to black those out completely. So we get a two-for-one here. We get a little bit of pavement maintenance and restriped streets to do that. So those three items really need additional definition and potentially need to come forward not only perhaps for funding authorization, but for project authorization. I'm going to turn this section back over to Ms. Calloway for her.
We're all tag teaming today. So those projects that Rob just went through, that's about $2.5 million and a mix between kind of general government projects and transit projects and street projects. So when we talk about other available funds that can be either allocated to additional projects or combined with these funds and reallocated to something else, depending on the council's will, there's the capital replacement, what we call the internal service fund. It's about $202,000 available. And then the project accumulation fund has $286,000 available. So those two funds, you're looking at $487,000 that would be available to appropriate either for new projects that aren't proposed or, you know, some other priority of projects that the council can discuss. Those would be pretty much non-restricted in that it would really be at your discretion. This next list of funds are restricted funds, yet are available and can be used for qualifying projects and capital needs. The first kind of grouping or block are the government impact fees, and those are those fees that are in the 900 or 901 fund. They're listed in the other funds section of your budget. I don't have 17-18 year-end estimates in there yet. I didn't get a chance to pull those today when we were kind of putting this together for you, but we did have 16-17 year-end balances. We know what we've already forecasted to use given the projects proposed, so you know what would at minimum be available for 18-19. When you see the government impact fees fund, you don't see fund balances. You see what we expect to accumulate for these admin, police, fire, street, storm drains, and parks. They accumulate over a period of time and have to be used or else returned back to the developers that paid them. So we need to program those out for funding. And this would be to the extent that something qualifies, maybe a first option for us to go to in order that we don't keep them beyond a period of time that we need to. So the $73,500 is programmed for the fire truck replacement. That was part of the down payment. And then $20,000 for the Shasta Street Pocket Park, or the Bocce Ball Greenhouse Project. You still have $634,000 that could be allocated to something that would qualify. There's a TBD in administration because a portion of whatever is done in this facility, once we get a design, if it's a facility upgrade rather than the audiovisual, we could potentially use those administration funds for that. And we don't have a dollar value at this point. Also, there was interest in the parking in lieu fees. There's $348,000 estimated at 17-18 fiscal year end. We've already programmed $83,700 for the striping project that Rob just spoke about. So you would still have about $264,000 in parking in lieu fees. And then park in lieu fees, $266,000 estimated at year end. We received a large deposit into this fund this year for the Black Hills project. So that's why that fund balance came up so substantially. $20,000 of it is programmed in for use, and that would give you $246,000 that you could allocate to any of the other qualifying, another qualifying park project. Just cautionary, it's not maintenance. It's something replacement or improvement to a park. So to the extent that you identify projects, for instance, it was brought up Cerrito Peak, a dedication of that, or Mr. Pannoni, as we've talked about that, he thinks that would qualify if it was reserved for open space and dedicated as such. So we can talk more about those, but totally you have about $1.2 million in these funds that, if it was a qualifying project, could be used and allocated for capital or other needs.
I just want to add a little bit something to the Park in Lieu Fund. A lot of organizations will have a parks facility strategic plan on what parks facilities improvements that they plan on spending on, and that would also be eligible for use of those funds developing that planning document. Just wanted to add that to the mix.
Okay, questions. Red?
Yes, thank you. I like the idea of a park facility plan, because I know we have several proposed projects, and you could just kind of flip a coin, I guess. There's playground equipment up at City Park was in the list here, and the work on the Shasta Pocket Park. But if we had a plan, that would help us plan how to spend the money.
Correct.
Okay. Jennifer, you said the administration money could be used for improvements to this building, Veterans Memorial Building?
Yes, that would be our plan.
I'd like to propose that we look at replacing the chairs that we use for the audience to give them something more comfortable to sit on.
I would support that. Would anybody else like to support that?
I'd like to support more than that. Late in a minute.
And then, Rob, one of the projects that you mentioned, the Transfer Center bus stop, it appears that the project is for upgrading, but is it not, in fact, to fund a study to upgrade?
That's correct.
Okay. In the budget package on page I-69 is a list, a schedule of deferred infrastructure maintenance. And there's a list proposed for FY19. And one of those is the electric door at the senior center. And I've been hanging around the senior center a little more frequently than I used to, and every time I go there, I get asked about the door. Can you tell me about the door?
So the door has some functionality problems, mm-hmm, with it, And I think we've done all the maintenance that we can do on mm-hmm. the door. We've replaced every replaceable component to it. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with mainly the issue is when you need a assistive device to get through the door, like mm-hmm. a walker, mm-hmm. that the scanner is scanning through the legs mm-hmm. and may close on you because it thinks nothing is there. So mm-hmm. it does need to be upgraded and replaced. Mm-hmm. That is the city's responsibility to do. Mm-hmm. It is in our deferred maintenance list and could be... Thank you. It is already included in the budget, so we plan on doing it with this coming year's project list.
So it's approved and programmed.
Well, not quite approved
yet.
Oh,
well, okay. It may be approved, but it is programmed.
It's programmed.
Okay. So it will happen sometime during the coming fiscal year.
That's
if
correct.
It's approved. Okay. And then the angle parkings, that'll come back to us as part of the parking management plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. It's, we're just planning forward, and that's one of the items we're looking to do for the, the economic development implementation for the next year, and that's
okay.
Part of what we heard back from the economic center downtown on the waterfront was parking, and
parking,
more parking.
Parking, yep. Okay. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, Matt.
Yes, Rob, I have a question for on page 15, 16, and 17 in terms of the proposed capital budgets. And then I see where you had mentioned some will require additional council authorization. So all of these items on those three pages, when and if they are authorized, we will be doing them in this coming fiscal year.
So the projects listed on page 15, if they are approved in the budget, they are a level of expenditure that would not need to come back to council for final approval authority. The projects listed on page 16 exceed the city manager's purchasing authority and would be required to come back to council for award. In addition to... the mechanics of awarding a contract, we also need to adjust our pavement management plan based on the final dollars that are available. So there will be some fluctuation in the streets being proposed as we bring that back to you, and our plan to use the 2% LTF set aside for improvements to bike and pedestrian facilities.
And so these, in terms of the fiscal year calendar, these will just come up as they come up on your work schedule, and then you'll bring those to council as needed?
So paving is dependent on fairly good wet. Well, the street resurfacing that we do, I have to be careful. We're not proposing any paving in this year's budget. It's all maintenance sealing efforts. It's still weather dependent, so it's best to do it when the weather is fairly nice, but not. There's a sweet spot. Everybody tries to do their work in the summertime, and you don't get the best prices. So we've had the strategy of tried to get it on borrow the term from our tourism, the shoulder season as far as weather goes, and to get it in there. We've had limited success. It rained early one year and rained late the other year. So, but we do get better bid prices when we stay away from when everybody else is trying to do this work. So I would anticipate this coming to PWAB this summer and then followed up coming to council.
Okay, thank you. And and that strategy has in the last 5 or 6 years has worked. Not 100%, but it has worked. So it's good.
Yes.
Okay, and that's all my questions.
Okay, John.
Thanks for the overview. So my assumption is that the fire engine replacement, as it comes back to us, will have the single source evaluation. As opposed to the going out to RFP. that's coming?
That's affirmative.
That's affirmative?
That's
Thank
affirmative.
You. That's easy to answer. Great. Where would we, if we wanted to improve sidewalks, for instance, we have multiple issues with cracked sidewalks that are kind of a community hazard. Capital funding for that, what are the possibilities for the funds that might be, quote-unquote, rated or tapped to facilitate that, and how would one go about inventorying those issues, or what's the process for that?
So the source of funds is a couple. We have these accumulation funds, the restricted and unrestricted funds. Of the restricted funds, you could use the streets portion for that type of work. So that's almost $144,000 there. We contracted a couple of years ago with disabled access consultants to inventory all of the ADA, American with Disabilities Act, deficiencies within the public facilities. And you can see a capital budget sheet for that item of somewhere in excess of $5 million in deficiencies. A subset of that is the sidewalk work that's needed. Not only the repairs, but the missing sections. Now, we've chipped away a little bit with the missing sections with CDBG funds. We're working on looking at updating that inventory right now. Got an email from our assistant engineer as I was sitting here, and we have a little over $1 million in deficiencies that have been identified on existing sidewalks within the city that need to be repaired. Not all of them, you know, the $1 million assumes that we would replace everything.
Yeah.
There's some of those deficiencies that could actually be use a different approach to it, saw cutting or grinding that lip so you don't trip on that. So we have identified those costs, and that could be a future project or a project this year that we could develop to use the available funds that are either in project accumulation or in the streets portion of the restricted funds. As Ms. Calloway pointed out, it would probably be best to use the restricted funds first because they have a time clock ticking on them to be used. Otherwise, they need to be returned, used or programmed. Otherwise, they need to be returned. So those would be the first source of funds that I'd recommend, and then tapping into, if we wanted to do a larger project, those unrestricted funds.
Same question with regard to community bathrooms and issues with regard to community bathrooms and funds available for that. I assume some of the similar funds.
Similar funds. I think we would look at another line item there. Perhaps the administration item might be appropriate. For community bathrooms. That's a little bit more extensive a project to construct a building in town. I think we had an estimate for if we were to construct a new bathroom at Del Mar Park or to install a prefab bathroom, it was in the neighborhood of a $300,000 work
crazy,
effort
isn't it? Yeah,
there.
It's unbelievable. Storm drain issues. You know, we've had discussions in the past about storm drain issues. Are there any really pending ones that need to be addressed in your mind that are paramount or priority that should be considered in this capital budget?
We have a maintenance project that we're about to start next week out on Quintana Road. If anybody's ridden in the bike lane out on Quintana, there's a nice big hole by the auto repair places, so
yeah.
We'll be replacing a section of storm drain out there. Our One Water planning effort is also addressing storm drains, so they'll be preparing a capital improvement project for storm drains. So I would hold off on any capital project work until we receive that that plan.
So I guess in general, I support the proposed capital budget items that you've listed here. I really would like to see if there are any issues with sidewalks that we could help. That's an issue that I continue to hear from people that could be programmed for this year, especially if funds are about to expire or pending expiration. With regard to this facility here, I support these antiquated seats being replaced. I would certainly like to see audio-visual improvement for the council when we go to the county facilities and have meetings there. We have such things as screens for presentations, which some of us over 25 cannot read a majority of the things that fall up there. And then there's also a single screen, and it's difficult for staff, as you pointed out. So I think whatever we can do with the PEG funds that we've got here to upgrade this facility, to improve also the receivability with regard to those folks that watch us on TV. Audio visuals sometimes go in and out, and I hear complaints about especially people not using the mics correctly. That's why I put my mouth over the top of it when I speak. Because of that concern, and we have a number of frail elderly that have hearing problems and have watched, and they just can't hear sometimes, and it'll go in and out. So I don't know how you're going to prioritize exactly how to do that, but those are some of the things that I would support for this facility, and from a cost standpoint, I don't know how excessive that would be, but it could be improved dramatically. I support the Jack LaLanne Memorial Fitness Station, and I think that'd be an important project as well, and the striping, obviously. And with that, I have no further questions. Thanks.
Marlis.
Okay. A couple questions, and then I'll make my comments, too. First of all, can I ask the history or how this bocce ball court greenhouse project, where that came from? The history of it?
Kirk Carmichael again, recreation manager. As we know, this is a pocket park that was developed some time ago, and it's since been overgrown. We do have a small contingency of seniors who play bocce ball through MBSCI, active adults. So they're looking for a place that there's where there's a real court to play. What they're doing now is finding grass anywhere and just kind of throwing the ball around and playing bocce on long grass where it's designed for a court. So with that, we had discussions with the Morro Bay Seniors Inc. I did to try and develop something there where they can bring their game, and from there I was approached by Morro Bay and Bloom looking for a location for a greenhouse. Initially, it was they requested back behind the Morro Bay Community Center, which was not an appropriate location for it. So through discussion and whatnot, we determined that this might be a good spot. So. This has been in discussion for about a year and a half now, and we're trying to pick it up again. And am I answering your questions?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to know, you know, did we have people interested in bocce ball, or did somebody just say, "Wow, that sounds like a great idea"?
There is some interest, yeah. And one of the big moves that we're or pushes that we're trying to do with the Recreation Services Office through our seniors liaison Brady Locke is to actively engage our senior population in outdoor recreation.
Good.
So this is one of the elements.
All right. Thank you. Then I wanted to ask about Franklin Riley Park, which is a new park that has just been named, and it's now blank. And I know that there's a foundation that is willing to give $10,000 to buy some benches and display panels and whatnot. Would that qualify for the city to install it as an expense to come from this fund, this park in lieu fund?
Were you looking for city staff to install,
right,
and then fund that out of one? I don't think we could fund city staff out of one of the restricted funds.
But we could pay to have it installed.
Or depending on the level of work that's required and the timing of it, there could be the opportunity for city staff to just do that work as part of their, you know, day-to-day maintenance and construction activities.
So it would not be an additional expense of any kind?
Potentially.
But it might not get done, so maybe it would be better if we contracted it. Then I wanted to ask about... this was, I think, one of your maintenance items, installing synthetic turf on Centennial Park at Centennial Parkway. I'm wondering why we would do that when that's kind of slated for redevelopment.
Yeah, so that's your city manager did a tour with the consolidated maintenance crew a couple months ago, and just conversation with Matt Bishop and Mike Wilcox, just what can we do to kind of pretty up that area and a short period of time, knowing that, you know, 2 or 3 years we might have something new there. And that was one of the ideas they threw out, so we wanted to test the waters and see if that was something council would support. Because right now it's 3 dirt patches in the center of, you know, Embarcadero.
Have you contacted Morrobey and Bloom to see if they might be able to do something about that?
They're busy kind of in a lot of different areas, and we think there's probably a way to make it work with both of those uses, but just overall having a place for kids to play down there. And we've seen the success of that over by the House of Juju with the synthetic turf that's in place.
Well, and you're
there.
Right. We don't know how long it's going to be before
we
see changes there. What else did I want to mention? Oh, yes, the Surf Street stairs. I see that they are not on this capital improvement program, and I would strongly suggest that we consider adding them for replacement to this capital improvement program. I don't know if you've been on them lately, but... And I'm going to be careful in what I say. I've talked about them before.
Those stairs are near the end of their useful life.
They are indeed.
And they should be looked at for replacement. Replacing those stairs would probably incur the need to provide... accessible access. So the capital project that's in the budget as an outer year project does have a series of switchbacked ramps to replace that stairway. It's probably the lower cost version of switchback ramps. It involves low retaining walls and pavement to get you down from this level here down to the Embarcadero lift station restroom level. So it's a little over $300,000, we estimate, to do that work, to replace that. It could be funded with some of the unrestricted funds, or perhaps one of the other categories could be used.
I noticed that you have it as a multi-year project in here, so could we start it? I mean, the initial investment was not very much. I don't remember exactly, 40-something?
That was to do some engineering and planning work to, it will require probably a coastal development permit because it is, we're not doing repair and maintenance on those existing stairs. And I wouldn't recommend that we try to repair that wooden stairway much more.
But we could begin in this coming year with that initial design and engineering work.
Yes, we could, provided we allocate those funds from one of our pots of money to do that.
All right. Well, I would recommend that. And I also support the other improvements that Council Member Heading has suggested for this building. So that's it.
Okay. So we want to revisit some things. So it seems like we've got consensus on chairs and audiovisual. I'm just kind of tabulating so we at least have consensus on where we're going. But we don't know what the chairs would cost, so it seems like we'd want to find out what that's going to be, and we have so that would probably come back to us if that's where we're going.
Yeah, the entire project would need to come back to you, and you know, AGP has reached out to me about a month ago. They have substantial upgrade requirements back there. The things that we don't see that play into the audio component, and then probably providing, you know, panel TVs or something so that you could see it and then staff can see it and the community could see it. Something like that could be substantial. So really just have to do some of that legwork to get estimates and come back with options for council. We'd like to move on that one quickly.
But that's programmed. The audio video is right with the PEG fees.
There's $30,000 in change programmed. The audio visual could range upwards of $150,000, depending. I don't know how much needs to be replaced back there, but there's a lot of equipment.
Okay. Well, I would support that as well. But that would come back to us with a cost estimate.
That's
and
right.
Then the source of funds to
source
be determined.
Source of funds, and if we need to do a mid-year kind of adjustment, we can do that.
Okay. And then the park and lieu funds, the work that we did on the Del Mar bathroom, I just want to say thanks to the guys, the crews that are doing all the work. When is it open anyway?
We've had a soft opening, so to speak, already. It's available for use. I believe that there's a grand opening proposed for the 15th, this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so. We're not kidding.
Grand opening for a bathroom. What do you do? Oh, I see.
The Royal Flush.
Okay. Okay, we'll be waiting for the announcement on that. But I brought that up, because that can be the funds for that can't come out of park and lieu funds. That's been funded through last year's budget to this point.
Yes.
Or are we still okay?
Out of maintenance and a portion out of our, we did have to make major improvements to the accessible stall there. So that came out of our ADA set-aside, and I can't remember what we called that fund, if it was strategic or it was one of the buckets that we had set aside in the past.
And so for the planning document for parks that you were talking about that could come out of the park and lieu fund, what do you estimate something like that?
I really don't have a feel for that. I've never prepared a park plan. I think it depends on what level of detail we want for it. I would suggest that we stick probably to the concept level. Maybe Mr. Graham has a feel.
Mr. Leivick's correct. It depends on the level of plan that we do. Mr. Leivick originally referenced a strategic plan, which is really a kind of go do it, identify the types of improvements that you want and go do it. The other option is a park's master plan. It's much more comprehensive and would be more expensive. So probably would be the better idea to go with the cheaper one because it would get us the information that we need to identify the improvements that need to be made kind of off the bat.
With the park and lieu funds that we have.
Correct. The other one would be a much longer process and be more expensive.
Yes.
Because you're dealing with all of the parks.
Yeah.
A comprehensive analysis of each one. It would be a
much
more expensive document.
Okay, I'll come back to that question, I suppose. Angled parking that was discussed, that's going to come to us, though, conceptually. Is that right?
Yes, through the parking management plan discussion.
We're going to have that review with council over the whole parking management plan. A portion of that is the striping component. And we're also going to be doing some additional outreach with the economic centers to get some more specifics on that.
Okay. And then Mr. Heading brought up the sidewalks, and I brought up the crosswalks as well last night as an option for the pavement management plan. So how would that come about?
So physically, what we would probably propose is basically grind out the area of the crosswalk and to replace it with paving.
I understand the mechanical part.
Yeah.
As far as implementing it into the budget and having it.
So we need to bring award of a contract back to you for the pavement management plan. We, given direction, we could look at those crosswalk areas, and as I said, based on the level of funding and the costs that we get back, we'll need to adjust those streets that we propose work on anyway. We could incorporate those issues that exist within those paving deficiencies that exist within the crosswalk areas as a part of that project and bring that back to you.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to fold two things together and see and get some council consensus on this as well. Considering the comment about sidewalks and the study that was transpired and the $1 million estimate, perhaps the way to frame it would be to identify the high traffic, pedestrian traffic areas in our business districts. And, it kind of relates to some of my comments yesterday as far as the tourism and, what our investment is. So if we were to take the list that we have for sidewalks that are the focused areas in our tourism core, be it Embarcadero, downtown, and then blend those needs within that corridor or area, both crosswalks and sidewalks, kind of the pedestrian improvements. I'd like to see something like that come back, and I don't know if that is complementative of what Mr. Heading and what the will of the rest of the council, but I'd like to see us get some support on that and highlight those areas. And that's one of my questions, and maybe we can get some responses to that, but that's on that. And then going back to the pocket park, as far as the bocce ball goes, I'm a little bit hesitant personally on that. It's not really a designated park. It was just an open piece of property that the city had, and we said, okay, we'll just do a little adopt a park here and plant it. I'm sort of hesitant on developing something and then it becoming kind of a dedicated use when we really haven't looked into that all the way. And then I will say the bocce ball court thing is intriguing, especially when there's a demand for it. But we have the shuffle ball courts that are on City Park that are not used anymore and are somewhat hazardous in which way, pardon me, Joe, but in the way they're paved. So it seems like that might be a really better source for bocce ball carts, of course, in my view, and it's already a designated park. And those particular shuffle boards don't get utilized at all anymore that I'm aware of. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there, and for the rest, I'm just kind of hesitant for long range as we start saying, okay, we're going to start dedicating a piece of property that was just a little bit neglected, and we thought, okay, we could do some landscaping on it. Those are my comments there. I would support the
the Frankly Riley. I'm not sure exactly where you're going with that. And then the Surf Street the stairs comment would support funding at least the start portion of that to get that going. And I would expect that maybe the some of the impact fees as we identify, I think we'll come back, and I'm hopeful we'll come back in November with a report on the impact fees that identifies what we can use all those for. So that might be a source of funding as well.
So we'll be providing you with the AB 1600 report, which is the impact fee report in November. And that will have the updated balances as we close out 17-18. I guess I would maybe recommend, if you reach consensus on some of these additions, the crosswalk sidewalks, for example, that's a component of the ADA capital project that's not funded for 18-19. So if you would like that, I think we'd bring that back as part of that ADA and show that kind of $5 million outstanding as starting to be implemented, and maybe identify how much that would be. Probably best to use the 140-ish in some of the restricted funds towards that. For Surf Street, we may be able to use some of the street impact fees. It might be clearer to just say, if that's the will of the council, fund that through the capital and the project accumulation funds, because then there's no question about the appropriateness of using those. And you may want to give us direction to do that and bring that back in this budget. I would hate to fund 1 year and then get to 19-20 and not have funds to complete it. So you may want to allocate that budget now for the whole project, knowing that it won't all get done in 1 year.
So it seems though we might be getting to budget session number 3 with it. It seems as though there's things that are going to would need to come back to us that, based on the conversations we're having, chairs, for example, and things like that. Would that be fair to say that what you're recommending would come back in a way we could look at that and then have it in the adopted budget?
I think I would recommend that you give us as much detailed direction tonight as you can.
Okay.
The chairs, for example, you know, Rob did a quick estimate on his phone here, is thinking $10,000 for chairs, but we really need a whole plan, and we need a whole design, and that would come back to you once we got that with a funding plan. What you'd be approving in this budget is the concept and for the go-ahead to do that plan and design to bring back for you. On the third study session, sorry.
But not the specific dollar amount.
Not the specific dollar amount. That's why it would come back for you for approval of the design and the plan and the allocation of funds. For the next budget study session, we were going to focus on kind of the 10-year and the CalPERS to the extent that we can get through what we can today. These kind of changes we can bring and incorporate into the document you will receive for adoption. So you're going to get another version of this with all the editorial comments, with the EDSP funding, all of that incorporated into it, and that's what you'll be formally adopting in June. And so at that time, there would be another opportunity. If we didn't quite get it right, you could direct us to make changes again. But if we get clear direction at this point, we'll incorporate that for the June document.
Okay. All right. So the Vets Hall is framed basically kind of conceptually that would include audio, video, and chairs. That's the way I understand that would come back. And
perhaps other facility items, but that would be all in the design.
Okay. And then coming back, and then some of the details for crosswalks and sidewalks as an example, I've just been having that conversation, but I think we need to have some other input from council on, you know, to get total direction on that. So maybe I should pause on that and get some feedback on that discussion. And I can look towards Red and go this way, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. I agree with you.
Well, that was simple. You're okay? Okay. Any comments then?
Yeah. Then my additional comment would be, besides the corridors that the mayor identified, there are some potentially high-risk areas that are outside those corridors that I think need to be identified and prioritized. So if there are such places noted, I would like those to be at least considered or looked at. I would agree as a priority, the most utilized areas are important, but if you right around town, you'll find some other areas that are in significant need as well. So I'm concerned about that, just adding that. I don't know how big that is, but.
So I would recommend that we get kind of use the same strategy as the Vets Hall, get direction to do that assessment and bring that back with a proposal and a potentially award a contract to do that work.
So that would be conceptually in the budget?
Yes. So we recognize that there's funding sources. We would not propose to do a larger project than we have funding for. So we would propose to stay within our existing funds, get general direction from council on, for example, direction to mitigate the ADA deficiencies in sidewalk in the high traffic areas, prioritize those, and also the crosswalk areas within that same area. And then we would bring back a list of those with perhaps some options to that council could chew on a little bit if there was I already know the answer to this. If there was more deficiencies than we have resources for.
Okay.
Are you wanting ahead. Other comment on the bocce ball court question?
Well, can I weigh in on that?
Oh, sorry. Sure.
Yeah. We're still, there we go. Thanks.
Yes, I'm in favor of sidewalks fixed.
Okay, good. All right, good.
Too.
We got consensus on that. Thank you. And then... did you have additional comment on that?
Just on your comment about the bocce ball courts, I think I said I support them, but I guess, like with pickleball, it would be good to know the numbers of individuals that might utilize it to look at community need, to be able to prioritize that as an item of significant community need. And we do have in-kind funds or other funds, I think, donated $12,000 for that. Out of 32, is that correct? So we do have a contribution that's part of that, which you always hate to turn down. So if there's opportunity, but utilization to me would be important looking at that numbers.
Okay.
I also want to clarify the $32,000. That was assuming that there really was no in-kind labor, and it was more of a worst-case scenario for grading ADA accessibility. As the project matures and becomes better developed, we'll refine that number.
Okay. And then, yes, sir?
I want to say thank you for bringing up the reminder that piece of property is not a designated park. And because I remember now we were going to build a expand City Hall onto that. And so that is a capital asset that the city owns, and we should not just willy-nilly convert it into a park. So I'm going to support your idea of looking at an alternate site in a park.
Thank you. And I guess I don't know if that means that we're having a discussion about looking at alternative sites, because the proposal as we have it on the budget was for the pocket park. So maybe just some guidance on whether or not we're within our wheelhouse here on having this conversation. But, whether or not it moves forward, I think we need to at least identify for the group's interest that this isn't necessarily a permanent installation. And I guess that's what I wanted to highlight. Okay. And then on, so page I-69, and this is the list that Marlison brought up as well. So when we're looking at the list for fiscal year 18-19, we have A's and B's and C's, and we have a number for to do all of those, but not all of those will, as it says, project completion based on priority and available funding. So I think in last year's budget, we kind of highlighted, hey, the A's, they'll get done this year. The B's, if these funds get freed up, can we do something like that for this line as well so we know what to expect?
We can do that. If you look at your budget on D10 and D11.
Which one?
D10 and D11.
D10?
D as in dog.
Okay.
Under the internal service funds. So that list is really what is to be funded in the facility maintenance fund.
D10.
They've budgeted $76,000. So unless there was direction otherwise, in theory, it would kind of go down that list to get to about the $76,000. At some point, if we have a tenant come in and revenues come back into this fund, they could work down this list beyond that. So we can highlight and block out what counts as that, what qualifies under that $76,000 or what was budgeted for that. But yeah. This is the same list that you see in the back.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, that was the concept when the department went through and budgeted that. They worked off of this list and kind of picked what they thought were priorities or felt were priorities to recommend.
Okay, so based on our available funds, obviously not all of these are going to get done, so we'd be able to itemize the ones that we're planning for, and then as an example, whether it's first quarter and we have discussion on the risk management fund or some of the other internal service funds, we kind of identify available funds that come up. We can have the discussion on, okay, the next list of priorities, because we have X amount freed up, we'll go ahead and do those. Conversely, if we're talking about doing the vets hall in concept, and we might have to prioritize this list to accomplish the vets hall if that's what we wanted to do. I'm just that we should be expecting those kind of conversations. Is that right?
That's correct. Because if you go through and you add them up quickly, you get with the $76,000 that's budgeted, you get to about the public works replacement for the roof. But you're absolutely right. If we are able to come back with a design that you approve for the vets hall, it might make sense to do the two vets items that are a lower priority on the list in conjunction. So, you know, that's one of the ones the city manager said we wanted to try to move on quickly once approved. So first quarter to mid-year is probably about the right time that we'd be able to make that assessment.
Okay. And then just something that I was thinking about just as we were talking through that, sorry, scattered sometimes, but the planning document for the parks, you know, is that an opportunity for Cal Poly intern to do something like that for us? Because I don't think we need anything really elaborate, but, you know, that's not necessarily a budget decision, but when we're talking about it.
So Cal Poly does, I mean, you might recall when we initially engaged in even the general plan update,
yeah. They
came and gave us a proposal for what that might look like. But given the timelines of how that was going to work, it probably wasn't going to, didn't really suit our needs at the time. So they do, you know, they do have some capability to do longer range planning documents and those types of things. I've not seen whether they've taken on something similar to this, though. Although I could reach out to the department and see, you know, if that's something they'd be interested in doing. But we'd want it to be on their side of, I wouldn't want an intern doing it, on the side of the professional documents that they prepare. Because they prepare general plans, LCPs, zoning codes for cities that the people that cities adopt. It just didn't seem like and that was going to work out for our you know, our purposes. But so they do do some of those things. I don't know if they've ever done anything related to parks and what that would look like. We have to be something we need to talk to them about.
Okay. I know we can really get into a lot of conversation on this, and we should probably move on. So sorry for me to get into such detail on some of these things, but I do look back at some of the ones where we, you know, when we're talking about Centennial Stairways and installing SURF in that area, and we've had an item on the Vets Hall for removing the turf right outside, and that that's been on our budget for some time, and we just so how do we come to the recommendation to do Centennial over the Vets Hall lawn and turf removal? From designing the capital, I'm just looking for some feedback on how we prioritize those and how we get there.
Well, I think that now would be a good time to have that discussion, so you can kind of direct us either now or, you know, up to a budget adoption if you would like the priority to change, because that's not kind of in that top tier that we would maybe get to prior to our first quarter or mid-year.
Yeah, I was just looking for some comment on, you know, how that got – how we're coming to something like that. And sometimes I look at the long list of things and needs that we have in the city, and looking at how it was once on the list and may not be on the list now. And others on council might not have much to say about that. But I should probably just revisit where we're at and make sure. So we had we have consensus on the Vets Hall concept. We have the bocce ball court support. The other one that came up was the park equipment, and would we be able to include that with park and lieu fees? I think we mentioned that. Would that something we'd be able to do?
Yes, that would be able to be fundable through the park and lieu.
Okay, and then we had consensus on the crosswalks and sidewalks in the designated areas as described, and then all the list of items that were in the CIPs. Is there any other Surf Street? Is there anything else?
Can I just ask what our consensus was on the bocce ball?
We support it. That's a good question. We support it, but we didn't. I think part of the message was it's not necessarily a permanent installation, and if Kirk wanted to look at the option at City Park, maybe that's up to him.
Could we ask that this issue come back to us? I mean, I realize that unless, I mean, it wouldn't otherwise, but since we haven't really decided where and what, and I mean, is that reasonable to ask that we come back with this when you actually do it? So presumably you're going to look at the alternative place and see if that's doable, and maybe it is and maybe it isn't. And
yeah, I mean, as Kirk mentioned and the mayor just noted, there are many items that have been discussed that, you know, maybe hasn't reached council, but the items that Jamie or the mayor mentioned, you know, that we've talked about and haven't been able to fund, this is one that the active adults have been talking about for some time, and they're willing to put their money where their mouth is. And so, you know, the attorney I just talked, you know, if we build it, it's going to be hard to take it away, you know.
Exactly.
And so it wasn't something we necessarily really thought through. So that, I mean, that's, I guess your question is, can we bring it back? Sure. But we do have a lot of items that are being requested to come back, and I have the goals thing here, so I'm a little concerned about how much we're asking ourselves to come back and what we're going to do to your agendas for the remainder of the year. But so yes, we could, but maybe getting a sense of priority would be helpful.
So
sure.
I'll just throw in my two. Oh, go ahead. Nope. My two cents would be: I don't need it to come back. I think, you know, it's a small enough item that if it's doable, supportable. From a community standpoint, because we have volunteerism and dollars that are going to be thrown at it, that I don't want to get inundated with these smaller decisions. Maybe this is a big decision for others, but there's so much on the plate that I'm just concerned about having everything come back.
Any other comments? Red, Matt? tomorrow's?
Wow, I finally get to speak in before Red. Wow, I'm definitely getting blessed here. What a magic microphone. John, you make some good points about that. I, too, would agree to go forward with the bocce ball, to at least to analyze whether the pocket park would work or, as Jamie is talking about, city park. I think in terms of what we're talking about right now, the Surf Street stairs in terms of priority would be on my list of things to accomplish, at least on the beginning stages, would be on higher on the priority list.
I'm going to agree with Matt and John.
Personally, I think that more work could have been done, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but it just seems it's an inviting pocket park. I think we need to look at it in a long-term way. That's where I'm more sensitive about supporting it at the pocket park, personally. I think we could probably do a little bit more review on whether or not it would fit at the city park. That's why I mentioned that, because I'm hesitant, because as you say, once you build it there, it's hard to take it back. And I think we need to be very thoughtful and considerate about that. That's why I'm not that supportive of it. I'm supportive of the group and getting it there. And I know we're talking a lot about a bocce ball court when we have a lot more things to do. But it's just one of those things. I just don't think putting that piece of property out there, it's going to be hard to go back. That's why I'm not supportive of it. But I'm ready to move ahead with the rest of council. So we got consensus. We got consensus on the bocce ball court.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we got everything we needed to on the CIP.
Can I summarize to make sure I have all of your?
Did you have any other comments? No.
No, we were just saying it. Probably want to have some kind of agreement with the active adults if we do put the bocce court and with Morro Bay and Bloom, the greenhouse on that location, that it's not a permanent.
That would be my request.
So I think
yeah,
doing
well.
some more work
yeah.
with them.
Okay. Thank you.
So
thanks.
Appreciate your comments. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm just going to summarize quickly so I make sure bring back this piece of the capital budget that it's what you expect. So City Works implementation, which is kind of the final phase, is a yes. Morro Creek restoration is a yes. The bocce ball court concept is a yes. Presumably at the Shasta Street Pocket Park with some form of an agreement with the active adults for that. So that will remain in. The replacement vehicle bus is a yes. The short-term transit plan is a yes. The transfer center bus stop is a yes. The fire engine replacement is a yes, understanding that you'll see that contract again with the purchasing. Same with the replacement vehicle for the trolley. The pavement management plan with the additional revenues that Rob discussed to support that. The facility audio-visual upgrades is a yes. That'll come back to you with a more defined cost estimate and a plan. City park playground is replacement is a yes. The Vets Hall includes the facility, chairs, and the audio. The city park project using park in lieu fees is a yes. The crosswalk sidewalks attributed to the ADA capital plan using street impact fees of about $143,000 is a yes, but that will come back to you for prioritization of streets of the sidewalks and the crosswalks. The Surf Street stairs is a yes, and that will utilize the capital and project accumulation. We may not finish the whole thing next year, but at least plan for the budget for the whole thing, and we can carry it forward as we need to. And then the only one I have that I'm not sure I got clear if there was consensus was Jacqueline Lane as a concept, where there wouldn't be a appropriation of funds and it would come back to you, but to keep it on there as a concept, I think is a yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Okay, can we take just a short recess?
We can come back and do that. Can we take a short recess? Okay, all right, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, should we get started? Okay, AGP's ready. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Kirk.
Bye, Kirk.
Okay, ready to pick up where we left off?
Sure. We'll continue on with capital projects in our water and wastewater enterprise funds. We have our One Water Plan, a carryover to complete that project this summer of $106,000 from each of the water and wastewater. This is still part of the original budget that was allocated for that, but we just need to reallocate it for the upcoming year. We also have a couple of capital projects that are more or less placeholders in case we need to spend the money. The water and sewer system emergency replacement contingencies at $100,000. So the one of the products of the One Water Plan is a capital improvement project for both water and sewer collections. So that will be a result of that that planning effort. So we will need to bring those CIPs back to you.
to be once they're finalized. So we'll, as you may recall from last year, we had things in the water as like the Nutmeg tank replacement. You'll see that again as part of the water system capital project. You'll see things like manhole replacements and sewer line rehabilitations as part of the sewer line, but we're just better identifying those projects as part of our One Water plan. In addition to not only for this next year, but looking out over the next 20 years, so we have a good indication of where we need to go with those, with capital improvements in those two enterprise funds. So looking out both detailed in the near term, and as we get out towards the 20-year time horizon, a little bit less detailed, but we have an indication of how much that will need to be spent in those two funds. The WRF project is our is the largest project, as we've stated before, that Morro Bay will probably ever construct. And we have a detailed budget going forward on this, slightly over $9 million, proceeding forward into the design phase. So we will go through the environmental and permitting in this next year and commence design. So we have various line items that get us through that. Now this will be probably altered slightly as we transition to our new program manager of Carollo. They are taking a look at these budget numbers and will bring back to you revisions to that as we proceed forward with the project. But I think the $9 million is reflective of other budgets as we move forward into the design build phase of this project. Ms. Galloway is going to add something.
There's the correction here. It's not total government impact fees. It should be project budget. That was a copy and paste on my part. Error. At the bottom of the thing, it says total government impact fees. So I just want to correct that so nobody thinks those are coming from impact fees. It's obviously from the user rates. And then the one line item that does need to be incorporated into here that's not. It was brought up at the CFAC committee meeting, is there's no line item for attorney's fees. So attorney's fees, attorney fee, legal services, as we progress through the project and charges incur for legal services, we need to charge them to the project if they're specific to that. So we'll add that line item into the budget.
Excuse me. Can we ask what the construction is that you're planning?
So we'll commence a portion of the lift station and force main construction. I'm thinking this will be towards the end of the budget year. Perhaps if we're very fortunate, we could maybe even move a little dirt at the site. But this is everything aligning perfectly and kind of, I won't say I would say it's the best case budget scenario for the project moving forward. So it is reflective of, and Joe's going to tell me we're not going to do any construction until we approve an environmental document.
That's true, but that's not what I was going to say. Just for the record, because of the misinformation that I've experienced, what you're doing is approving a budget. You're not approving a project. We're not committing to go forward with the project. You're just approving a budget.
Thank you, Joe.
I also want to point out that many of these line items in here will be coming back to council for approval of contract items. For example, we have an RFP that was recently circulated for hydrogeological work that exceeds our signature authority, so that will need to come back to council. When we go acquire land, that will need to come back to council. So each one of these items, many of these items almost all of them will come back to council prior to actually making the expenditure, and we'll have a known project contract.
Can I just ask a question on that? On your last comment, Rob, you're saying just about every item will come back to council. And, you know, looking at the line item for miscellaneous operating supplies at $5,000, that's not coming back.
No.
The grant support for $30,000, that may not come back as
correct.
Well. But I think might be helpful is, you know, there's we all know that there's a heightened interest on the accountability of the project, even though it might not need authorization. Can we have during updates? I think it would be valuable to have during updates to say, okay, this is what we the laboratory testing, $25,000. We expended that. That was in our budget. I think just to catch us up and so we. No, this is what was in our budget, and this is what we had executed. If there's any other comments in supporting that from council, I'd like to hear from them. But I think it could be valuable.
I absolutely support it. And I had another question.
Absolutely.
Rob, I just for an early perspective for those that may be watching. When the rate study is done, with regard to capital projects and the inclusion of said projects into the determination of rates, can you just give a brief overview of how far out and specifically what a rate study might include from a capital standpoint?
In past rate studies that we've done here, we've looked out 5 years for the capital work that needs to be done within 5 years with that rate study. And we anticipate that there will be some review of rates and projects that would come forward to council on a fairly regular basis to look at those. That doesn't mean there has to be a rate adjustment every time that we do that. It just means that we'll have look at what the anticipated costs are to run the utility and compare those to what the revenues that we have that are taking in, and then the community gets to decide if that's appropriate for them through the Prop 218 process. So this next rate study, as with our previous rate study, included all of the operating costs to run the utilities. So we had, you know, the staffing, the chemicals, the outside services, and we had capital projects. Now, they weren't well defined in previous years. They may have been even overstated in previous years. So I think with this doing these detailed capital projects plans, we have a better informed rate-setting process.
Thank you for that excellent information. And with regard to our debt service, we also have debt service covenants, correct, that require a certain ratio be maintained, and that continuously has to be evaluated or per whatever the contract says, correct?
Correct. We have existing debt service covenants on our portion of the state water bond, and should we enter into a loan agreement with the EPA for the WIFIA loan and the state of California for SRF funding, they will require some sort of debt covenant also.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have some additional comments.
I was just going to add, and Councilmember Mekowski pointed out last night, when OpenGov becomes active, one of the things that's kind of delaying right now is we're working on a WARF-specific report for that that will go back to inception, which is March of 13-ish. So a community member, a council member, or a staff member would be able to select that report and see the detail of those expenditures. So to your point, Mayor, as there's a $5,000 expense for operating supplies, somebody could go to the WARF budget report, click on operating supplies, and see what that was. So I just wanted to clarify that, too.
Fantastic. And maybe at some time that would be a good presentation at one of our meetings to go over that. Yeah.
In addition to that, if you recall our quarterly budget reports that when we used to do regular WARF updates before we got into this transitionary period, all those expenditures were listed in those yes. quarterly budget reports
yes.
also.
Yeah.
Also, just want to mention that all of these expenditures is coming out of the sewer accumulation fund, and we're not accessing our existing planning design loan that we have from State of California through the SRF program. So it's all being paid out of cash on hand. We're going to turn it over to Mr. Endersby at this point to look at, through the eyes in the back of his head, the Harbor Enterprise Funds capital projects.
Thank you, Mr. Levick, and good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm glad we saved the best for last here. So I suppose somebody else has got the clicker over there.
Yeah.
There's not too many slides, so I guess you can do it for me. So not too many capital projects. Capital projects are coming out of our accumulation fund. There's just under about $500,000 in there now. First project on there, Beach Street Slip South, $215,000. This is a carryover from last year. It's been a couple of year project. You may notice the absence of the Beach Street Slips North. That is because our accumulation fund has funding in it less than the total number of projects we had on there, which apparently that's a financial no-no. So we had to pull one of those projects off of there. We're still in the engineering phase of that and yet to have an engineering estimate, so we may revise that once we get our engineering estimates up and running and see if we can do the north slips instead of south or do them both. We just don't quite know yet, so that'll be a work in progress. The boat repair storage yard, it's corrected up there. The number that was originally reported was wrong, so about 40,000, 40,500 left in our boat repair storage yard project. The next expenditure in that I'll be bringing to council here in the not too distant future. Financial feasibility, as you know, we've been an ongoing process on this, trying to figure out whether this boatyard is viable or not, and then tried a couple different paths. They're really the only path left to determine whether or not it's truly workable or not, or financially feasible or not in that triangle lot, would be to conduct a full financial feasibility study on it. So I'll be bringing that back to council whether we want to do that or not here in the near future. Ice machine, that's ongoing ice machine maintenance expenses we have in our lease agreement with Santa Monica Seafood. We did recently get approved for a $100,000 grant from the cable committee to do a major refrigeration overhaul on that, which should bring those yearly ice machine expenditures down, and we'll be undertaking that project hopefully sometime over the next 6 to 8 months. So hopefully not going to be spending as much of that $35,000 as we have in the past. South T Pier renovations, $55,000. That's an engineering analysis we had done on that pier a year or so ago. Relatively minor, not really structural type things, not safety issues, but just some things that need to be taken care of. So we'll be looking at that and getting those repairs done. And the DBW launch ramp, that's a grant, passed through $250,000, as you know, last year, or actually this year, in mid-year, we approved $45,000. To resolve issues in the scope from our DBW documentation. DBW did the engineering and the cost estimating. They, in all honesty, and I hope nobody in DBW is watching right now, but they didn't do a very good job on cost estimating. Some of their numbers are just way off, and their scope doesn't match between their own internal documents. So we're trying to resolve that and get back on track with that project and get it moving again. You recently received a letter from the Harbor Advisory Board Chairman indicating about a $2 million plus backlog of projects. Our accumulation fund is our bucket where we get money for doing all of our projects, and we're operating fund is, you know, just about balanced. I'm hopeful that it'll do better than we've anticipated it will do next year, based on the economy, but we're being conservative about it. And there's not much room for extra money for doing these projects, so we're really going to have to figure out some new and additional or enhanced revenue sources to get all this backlog of projects done at some point. Any questions?
Questions for for Eric? I have one for you. Sure. On the boat repair storage yard and the estimate on that. When we were discussing that at council level, we talked about, or maybe I had the conversation with you afterwards, but I think we did have at the meeting as far as undergrounding or addressing some of the utilities that were in that area as and relocating the HAB yard that's in the vicinity of Sur Street. And I think we were going to have a little bit more discussion on that. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
So the trash enclosure yard, you mean?
Trash enclosure and actually kind of that whole yard area. There was, you know, whether or not when that comes back, we can see whether or not all that can be shifted out of there and over in the storage yard.
So I'll take them one at a time and hopefully I'll remember them all. So the undergrounding utilities, that was pretty much a
relocating, whatever that was. Yeah.
There's a major overhead, you know, 200 million gigawatt power line overhead that could be undergrounded if we're going to use that lot for anything that requires any sort of overhead structure, mast or whatever, boatyard. The Maritime Museum folks had expressed an interest, had said there's an opportunity for us to piggyback on potentially with them because they were bringing in PG&E to bring in power for their facility there. That opportunity's gone. They've continued to move forward. The overall talk to do that project, to underground those lines, to move the trash enclosure and maybe the storage yard or the Harbor Festival yard and rearrange that and get it out of the prime real estate zone was centered, I think, more around boat storage yard and doing dry storage in there and dedicating revenues from that to go towards those sort of projects.
Okay.
Not out of this fund necessarily, not out of the accumulation fund necessarily.
Yeah. So is that still an option then? Or a consideration as far as being able to relocate some of those?
Yeah, it's with funding, yes. I think, like I said, should we approve and move forward with doing a dry storage yard, dedicating some degree of those revenues towards those kind of projects.
Yeah.
So if we do that dry storage yard, and that's another item I'm queuing up here in the next month or two, we'll bring that back. As you recall, we heard it maybe a month or so ago. We wanted to bring it back. If that moves forward, then whatever revenue we decide to dedicate towards that would then be starting to go towards those kind of projects.
So as I think you explained it, the power line going overhead limits some of the boat storage if they wanted to store with mast up.
Correct.
And so that was one of the considerations in, hey, how can we relocate that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as it goes now, mast up, if we go forward with that mast up, it's just going to have to be obviously on the south side of that line. And we'll
Which,
have to put
there
in
isn't
measures
much room there.
What's that?
There's not much room on
it,
the south side.
It limits it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much the demand is going to be for that mast up use either.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for explaining. Anybody else? Okay. Thanks, Eric.
Uh-huh.
I think we hit the questions and answers, so we'll move on to the enterprise fund's operating budgets, revenue, and so the water enterprise fund is about proposed to be a $5.8 million budget, with the largest expenditure being for services, about 8% of that budget is for services, and that service is the purchase of state water that comes out of there. We have 15% that goes to accumulation, 15% to salaries, transfers, both to for cost allocation and the general plan and a general fund. Sorry, not the general plan. Scott wishes it was for the general plan. And then also for IT services there, and a little bit for supplies. And as I stated, it's proposed to be a $5.8 million budget. Our sewer enterprise fund is currently proposed to be a $6.1 million budget, with the lion's share going to accumulation, which funds our large WRF project at the present time, with salary and benefits 11%, transfers 5%, other basically supplies, chemicals in the other category, and then services at 5%. Oh, excuse me, correction on the other. That's our payment from the sewer enterprise fund to, we have a separate fund for our wastewater treatment plant. So the sewer fund contributes to the wastewater treatment plant fund, and the Kaiku Sanitary District contributes to the wastewater treatment plant fund, and that pays for the operations of that fund. Go a little bit through our accumulation funds for both sewer and water. This is looking back in a time, the last 3 years, three fiscal years, 16-17 in the water fund, $2.7 million, increased $3.8 million, and at the end of this fiscal year, we expect to have $4.5 million in that accumulation fund that is for our capital project needs. The sewer fund, 16-17 balance, $4.3 million, increased to $7.1 million. And with the large expenditure for the WRF project, it drops down to a $1.1 million at the end of this budget year. Here's the wastewater treatment plant fund. Split fairly evenly between salary and benefits and services, and then smaller amounts for transfers out for IT and supplies, materials. That's where the chemicals and for the operation of the wastewater treatment plant get funded out of. Next is the Harbor Enterprise Fund, and I'm going to turn it over to somebody that might know about that one.
So similar pie chart, obviously salaries and benefits, 53%, the big ticket item. Transfers out, 17%. That's mostly our cost allocation plan, IT, and I believe the extra restroom cleaning that we pay for through the maintenance folks. Debt service, 7%. That's our South T-Pier loan. I believe we have 4 years left, maybe five. It's $134,000 and change. I'm seeing four. All right. Four is getting smaller. All right. And do it on one hand now. That's good. So that debt service is 4 years left at about $134,000. So that'll give us a little breathing room once that goes away. Over on services, the big ticket items over there are legal. Hi, Joe. Boat maintenance, utilities, which have gone up a lot, especially water. I've yet to figure out how to charge the general fund for the brine water they take out for using the desal plant. I got to figure that out. Maybe we can reverse some of that water charges we get, but I'll work with Rob on that. And then insurance is another big ticket item. And then supplies and standard stuff, you know, the things we got to buy to keep the doors open and boats running and whatnot. And the next slide, I guess, the final one, is a bar chart of our accumulation fund, where it is proposed to be or supposed to be by the end of this year, and then $148,000 at the end of next year, and that's after if we spend down all those items that were listed that I spoke of earlier. And there you have it.
Questions? Comments? Okay.
Sorry.
No comments.
I'm sorry, the debt service, could you give me the terms? What are the terms on that debt? Do we know? Is there any way of thinking about
Eric
refinancing knows. And or, you know?
Eric, the debt service for the harbor?
There's no advantage to early payoff with the loans. With DBW, we've got to pay the full amount. It's 4-point-some-odd percent. We did talk last year about potential of seeing if the general fund could refinance it, give the general fund more income than you're getting, more interest than you're getting with your money sitting in the bank where it is now, but paying less than what we're paying DBW, and have a little net gain there. So
that's my thought, yeah. Is that something we're looking at?
We can look at that. I haven't had a chance to look at that as of
my
yet.
My suggestion would be that you consider looking at that.
Yeah.
I'm a debt.
So I guess based on that comment, we should, as always, it's good. I think that was something that we all want to do. I think from some of the strategic look ahead, you know, it might be something, but at some point, timing wise, we might want to consider those options and look at that in a more holistic view. And it seems like we might be piling things on the list of mid-year budget. And that could be a whole item on budget and all these other list of options. I don't know how realistic that is, but if that's the will of the council as far as maybe bringing that back. Sure. And we got some nods on that. Okay, just wanted to circle back. Thanks, Jen, for taking all that note. Okay. Anything else from Eric?
No. So that kind of concludes what we have, but it would be helpful to have some discussion on the proposed capital projects for the enterprise funds, if you're okay with how they're presented, with the understanding that we'll add a legal services line item to the WRF budget.
I felt as though there was mostly agreement with what was proposed.
Yes.
Everybody else? Isn't that interesting how we get into some of the bigger ones and it's just, okay, that's, yeah, we agree. And then all the ones on the facility maintenance we've spent some time on.
Just to reiterate what our attorney told us, that we're just approving a budget. We've not approved any projects per se. And I'll just restate that for the record, that this is simply concepts that will be brought back.
Okay. Any other comments?
I think we need to circle back to the council bequests. I'm not sure that we closed that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What page was that on? Page 11. Thanks. Okay. Okay. All right, so there's the slide. We have EVC, we have SCORE. If we look at the last year's request, so the food group waivers is in there. So the home share, as noted, is coming out of the Housing in Lieu Fund. Okay. So you want to start off some discussion on that with council?
So just a couple of comments. It came up how people submit requests. We didn't actively call the people that we'd previously funded in the past. It feels a little awkward to call up and say, would you like to submit a funding request to the council? It doesn't quite feel appropriate. We've had internal discussions about the process going forward for 1920, and there may be being some kind of application form that's picked up and filled out and returned with metrics that you'll see in response to the funding request. But it's obviously too late to do that for 1819. So we've stuck with this process of when they've come in, we'll present them to you, and you can make a decision either as a whole and defer it and just leave the $16,000 as a pot of money to go to. You can choose to honor the requests that have come in to date if you'd like, and then they would get formalized in the adopted budget and designated for those agencies. You have some flexibility, I guess, is my point on how you want to deal with these. And then separate from that, we can discuss maybe the beautification line item and what you'd like to do with that.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. So what we have here is because I think there's the nutrition program that we've funded in the past as well, but it's not up here, which I'll bring up for discussion. So we, to your point, we have no mechanism to ask for requests or to contact whether or not we want to do that. These, some of them, with the exception of the EVC, are social type of bequests. And the other one that's on here, I think came up was...
Community resource
was the other one. So I guess maybe we should just start with the list, and we can start with the first one, EVC, and we can, I think we start with that conversation right there, John, being as the
sure.
liaison.
Go ahead. As the liaison to the EVC, and Councilman Davis is the assistant or associate, or alternate. That's the right word, alternate. I have been on the EVC for about a year, and I think what the EVC is doing for the community in terms of revenue enhancement is extremely important right now with the study that they're doing on closure of Diablo. They've been a great resource to the community whenever we've asked for assistance on any kind of issues, and also to the chamber. I advocate for full funding. I believe the remainder of the cities that contributed at the same level. We did cut it back to $5,000, I think, at midterm. But again, because of the importance of the potential Diablo closure and what I think will be the opportunity for assistance from them with the potential Trident Winds project as that moves forward. If it does move forward and is approved, hasn't been approved yet in the budget or anything, there's no concept, that could be very advantageous to the community in terms of future revenue. So I highly recommend that we support the EVC request for $10,000.
Okay, any comments or discussion?
I'll second that.
So is support, Marlis?
I guess so. My preference would have been to just allocate the 16.5 in the budget and to later come back to make these determinations, just because we don't have a complete list. The alternative would be to recommend a few or one or two and then come back for the remainder, but I just feel we haven't done enough community outreach to see what the other needs would be and who else might actually apply for some of this money if they knew about it. I mean, I can think of a lot of organizations off the top of my head that would benefit. So anyway, I'm just saying that. But if you want to take them one at a time and vote to approve that, I can approve that.
Any other comments?
EVC, no. Do you want to go to the list?
Well, I didn't know if we wanted to talk about the suggestion from Marlis.
My immediate reaction, Marlis, is being that we're setting the budget now, I don't mind going one by one right now. Although I like your point about if we don't get to the full amount, leaving that remainder in there to be decided upon as needed through the fiscal year. So if that makes sense.
Red?
Yeah. As Matt said, we are setting the budget now, and certainly we could wait for more requests, and we could wait and wait, and we could get a lot more requests and get really, really more confused about what to do. And I would just as soon finish it tonight.
I agree. I would as well. With the exception of the EVC, it's over the years we've gone through this, and this is another one we spent a lot of time on. We went through the enterprise funds, and that was like, okay, we've got that one. It's good. And the council requests have been, you know, somewhat of a discussion.
the EVC, though it's been good, I appreciate the comments from Councilmember Heading as the liaison and Mr. Davis, Councilmember Davis as the alternate. I know Mr. Manchak came and spoke before us, but we all often have a conversation on what's the return on investment, and I guess as a liaison, maybe you have a better appreciation for that than the rest of us. But that's quite a bit that we've been going for over time, and I've been supporting over in the past, and we'll go ahead in this year. But I think what we've asked for at least last year, was as we allocate these. Last year, we submitted letters to all these, and we said, okay, we want some accountability for how this is. The money's being spent. And with the exception of Homeshare is the only one that's come up and said, hey, we're bringing some people, and here's what we're getting. I would say for Sharon O'Leary, she hasn't done that. I think we've got very good contact for the amount of investment we have and what she's doing. To me, that's a simple one to do. The score, we haven't heard from anything on that, and I wouldn't necessarily support that at this time, because I really haven't heard any feedback on that, and I know there's maybe some comments on that. The nutrition program for Eliza, some Meals on Wheels, I think that's a pretty important one. We have kids in our in the community, 50% on assisted meals. Our seniors rely on that as well. From that standpoint, I would support the Meals on Wheels. But those are the things I think about over the years we've done. And like I say, some of it has been, kind of business oriented, surrounding the EVC and others, kind of social needs, as well as the home share and the waiver for the food group. And I'd be supportive of all those. But I have some reluctance on score, and I think we do need to follow up with the same type of letter that we did last year, albeit we didn't get any feedback. And to some degree, we probably owe it. If there's not going to be any kind of feedback or response on what we've done with the funds that we've allocated, I would feel more inclined not to allocate them in the future. Those are my comments.
Well, one thing I think when those are very good points, and I think I agree with you, Jamie, in terms of if you're not going to apply. On the bottom there, when we talk about, I think John and then Jamie, you brought up this concept of return on investment. And the last item there, the discretionary beautification, Morro Bay Adopted Program. We have various groups in town that Morro Bay in Bloom, Morro Bay Beautiful, when they want to do these projects. And one thing that has come up is in terms of the city either buying the various beautification items, plants or whatnot, and then they would do the volunteer work to do that. I would like to, in terms of perhaps talk about, could we put $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 aside that our groups, our beautification groups, can then come back and apply to be reimbursed for those funds, simply because the return on investment is readily apparent. So I would like to, along with the $10,000, perhaps if we wait on score, that would be one thing. I would like to entertain putting money aside for beautification.
Was there a $5,000... allocation we discussed earlier, potential, or is that in there?
No, there's a separate. You have $16,500 for requests,
right.
And then there's a separate line item that already has $5,000 allocated,
right,
for beautification.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
I thought that we were waiting for that.
Yeah.
You have $21,500 in total between the two.
Yeah. And I'll just agree with. Thank you, Matt, for that. And I had recalled, because I wrote it down with the earlier comment, that there was $5,000 for that, and I think it's important to do that. I will just remind us that on the agenda packet dated the 8th, that Mr. Banchek did submit a letter and outline some of the major issues that they were working on. So just as an FYI, I'd be happy to ask him to come and give a full report on what the benefits might be for our community as well.
You know, Erica is probably the star that does that.
Right, exactly.
The chamber. She really is. And you know, I think that's an investment and partnership well
worth. We do also have a letter from SCORE.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
And it thanks us for the support.
Where
that
was that
we gave
at?
In 2017.
I'm sorry. Was that in the
and
packet?
And then it gives some things about what they have accomplished. So.
I'm sorry. Okay, forgive me. Yeah, all right, thanks.
And I'd like to add that SCORE has stepped up to be a partner with our EDSP implementation. And a lot of what SCORE does, we don't hear about, because what they do is provide free mentoring to any small business who requests it. And so they're just a resource that is always there. And to me, $500 is pretty minimal to get that kind of on-call assistance.
I agree. I with the lack of that letter, I was kind of okay. I haven't heard anything about that. So forgive me for not following up on the agenda correspondence there. I think we've covered some ground here, and I don't know if we've actually come back down to, we've got a council request at 16.5. I mean, I'm not sure that necessarily all adds up based on what we're talking about there, but I also did throw out the nutrition program and as well as Matt, the beautification was in there. So we've got Jen.
So in terms of what would come back to you in the budget to be adopted, you'll have, it sounds like you're all in consensus on EVC for $10,000. There's consensus for SCORE for $500, so that would leave you with $6,000 left to allocate as agencies come forward. Mm-hmm. So you would still have some available funds for whether it be nutrition or Meals on Wheels or whatever agency may be. It sounds like $5,000 for beautification is maybe the right amount. We might want to have discussion on process for that if it's a grant application, but we don't necessarily have to do that for adoption. I think the program's coming back to you at the next meeting, so that might be appropriate to have at that point. And when I say in terms of process, is it a grant? As Councilmember Makowski, indicated, you apply for a grant to have the city purchase this supplies for you, or is it some other fashion? The important thing for budget is how much do you want in that line item. So it seems like $5,000 is the right amount. The $5,000 to home share that's funded in the housing in lieu program, it sounds like that's agreed upon. So then the only other item that you can choose to give direction on right now is the waiver fees for the Monday night meal. And we had a little bit of discussion on that, but I'm not sure if I understood if there was consensus or not.
I would support the waiver for the food group.
Yes.
Okay.
And could we add the Community Resource Connections Office to this list while we're doing it?
Sure.
Yeah.
What is it that we allocate there? Is it that in kind?
$1,000.
Oh, that, yeah, I'm totally in support of that. Yes, absolutely.
And then I'm not sure what the nutrition program Meals on Wheels is.
Is that so? It might help. On page C2 of the budget is what has been allocated in the past years. C2. And it was $5,000 in the past. If that's the senior nutrition program.
C2. Sorry.
And if you choose community connections, that's your $1,000, so that would get you the remaining balance. I don't know if there's any words of caution in bequesting money to folks that haven't officially requested it yet.
You mean the senior nutrition program has not requested it? Which I'm kind of surprised. They're usually right on that.
I just wanted to point out that the Community Resource Connections was established by the council as a service to the community, so it's really a city volunteer function, and the $1,000 is just set aside so that as they have actual expenses, they can submit for reimbursement, and they get some a little bit of IT support.
Okay. So thanks for that, Dana. As far as the senior nutrition program, we've not received anything from them, which is really kind of surprising. They're usually on that. But considering they haven't reached out to us, I would like to reserve a line item for that, at least at this point, and maybe do some outreach, because it really has been an important program for our seniors here in Moore Bay. And I wouldn't want to just let them, you know, for whatever reason that they didn't reach out. I know it still exists, and it's very important for us. So I wouldn't want to let that one go.
So you would have $5,000 left in that 16,500 pot. So that can be set aside and not allocated tonight, and it's still in your budget that when they come forward, you would have it available to appropriate.
All right. Sounds good. I think we can do that. I can follow up on that.
That's a good program.
So we're you want to just read back what we've got on that just to see where we're at? Thanks, Jen.
Okay.
You're good.
Would it be helpful if I kind of go through the direction, I think, overall from tonight?
Sure.
Okay. So from last night, we're funding EDSP at $30,000. That's from Opportunity Fund and Strategic Investment Fund. We're transferring $10,000 from that Capital Accumulation Fund to the Facility Fund for those unforeseen facility needs that we can't really budget for. In the General Fund, it seems the general direction is the budget as proposed in draft form is acceptable. I didn't identify any other modifications that were brought up or requests other than editorial or additional notes that you're going to provide to us outside of this discussion. We're going to allocate the bequests, $10,000 to EVC, $500 to SCORE, $1,000 to Community Resource Connection. That'll leave you with $5,000 of unallocated balance to decide later on. We're going to retain the $5,000 beautification line item that's in the council budget. The general maintenance and street maintenance proposed capital budgets we went over. The harbor or the enterprise fund capital budgets were okay as presented. We'll add legal services to the wharf. The internal service funds, project accumulation and capital accumulation will be reallocated for the Surf Street stairs. We're going to come back at first quarter with recommended minimum funding balances, and in conjunction with that, draft financial policies on those fund balances for the risk management, IT, facility maintenance, and vehicle replacement, as well as compensable leave funds, and that'll be at first quarter. But the budgets, otherwise, there weren't any modifications outside of what we just discussed. And I don't think there was any other modifications to the other funds section as well. And that would be the $5,000 for the homes share slow. We're not going to do any additional allocations out of strategic spending and setting that aside for the dark fiber when that comes back forward for council discussion. Did I miss anything?
Hang on. Is there anything on there that anybody wants to? I think we're good, and if there's something we missed, I'm sure we'll see it and be able to catch it.
From a policy standpoint, allowable subsidy levels, just a discussion on just trying to understand that. I had a note on that as well.
And was that at first quarter? Did we set a time frame for that? No.
No, okay. Whatever. Yeah.
So then in light of that, the third budget study session right now is meant to focus on 10-year forecast. how this budget then rolls forward into the future with a specific focus on PERS. You probably noted emergency reserves were not included in any of the discussion today, most intentionally because that would likely be the funding source for any PERS action that we want to take in terms of a strategy for dealing with the UAL. So that would be all part of the May 22nd meeting in the hour and a half or so that we have.
Okay.
In the PERS conversation, could you just briefly, I mean, I very much want to hear that, but briefly outline what you might cover? Will you be covering some of the actuarial issues that... And in some of the innovative options that other cities are using to do interesting things to get rid of or pay down, I shouldn't say get rid of, but pay down the obligation.
So I was planning on presenting kind of an array of what those options are and hopefully get some feedback or direction from the council on what are your preferred avenues, because we could spend a significant amount of time going down each lane and then rule them out. If there's something you can identify for us to focus on in finance as a preferred direction, for instance, a trust, an IRS trust, a 115 trust, if that's of particular interest, we'll focus on that.
That's of interest to me.
But I think we'll lay out all the options, you know, and try to get some direction from you on the 22nd, because then it'll come back with more specific detail on that for either first quarter or mid-year or sometime in between as we make progress in some of the other items and maybe have some other identified funding sources.
And the other part of it might be at the state level, if there's any regulatory action happening, and maybe through any of the organizations we belong to, if they have information with regard to that. The league obviously probably is the lead on that, but I know there's some advocacy going on for relief.
We can add that.
Okay. Just one more comment on the Surf Street stairs. As far as doing the concept on that, will there be alternatives on that? The example would be, and this was just brought up, I think it was a good point. Is it required for ADA? In other words, if it's not required, we're looking at $300,000 was estimated to do that, versus if we could just do the stairs, it would be significantly less. Would we be able to understand what that is?
It's required.
Because of the fact that you're going to be doing something significant there, it's required.
I guess the other thought is...
I think the alternative is to eliminate the Surf Street stairs.
And I guess, would that come back?
That could come back as an option.
I think that's something we need to consider.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions at this point? So where are we at? I think we've done everything, right? We can adjourn the meeting, is that right? All right. All right. We need to thank everybody.
Thank you all.
You guys all stayed. Val, I mean, you've two of these now, so thanks for coming. You don't always come to all our meetings, so thank you. And all our audience, the folks and staff and everybody coming out. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Our CFAC member, John, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Meeting adjourned. You may or may not be here.